I'm Mark Maron with Stu Ellicott and Mark Riley here on Air America Radio. It's 6 minutes past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Today is Hump Day, Wednesday. We've got the liberal agenda, the presidential palm pilot, and the former government official who helped blow the lid off the bogus terror report from the State Department. That's like a very alliterative line. Pa-pa-pee-pee-pee-pa-po. Right now, Mark Riley is here. Sue Ellicott has the week off. I am Mark Maron. I am recovering from a very, very full day yesterday. I'm a little tired, but I'm not going to let that discourage me or you.
You don't sound tired.
I know. Well,
you sound awake.
I've just had two giant Dunkin' Donuts, super-sized coffee. My stomach hurts. You know what's sad, though? I go to Dunkin' Donuts this morning after I talked yesterday about the new relationship I had with the crazy woman in the window.
Yeah.
With the, too much mascara. She weighs, she's a heavy girl, and she's got all the notepads going, and she's writing. She's working on the big manifesto of her insane life. And yesterday she acknowledged me. She gave me that scary, hey, I know exactly who you are and what you're thinking. You're part of me, my boundless world of schizophrenia. You are just an idea I'm having right now. She was waving to me as if she was conjuring me out of her own mind. And today, here's the sad thing, is that because I've projected all that poetic relevance to our little momentary relationship, this morning I see her and I look at her, nothing. I feel like going up to go, I thought we had, aren't we going to have a little crazy weird thing in the morning where you look at me, I get scared and smile, and you smile, and then I go away wondering if you're listening to me. So now I'm sitting here thinking, is she at home? Because I asked the guy at Dunkin' Donuts, I said, is she always in here? And he said, yeah, she's here from 2 to 5 in the morning. So I'm like, 5? Do you think she's going home and listening to Air America, right now? But if she is, she's probably out there going, this is all happening in my head. He's not talking about me, even though that's the man I just saw. So yesterday, I get out of here.
Yep.
I go down. I got to cop to this to my audience and to you before I get caught in it, because I think it's important that people know. And it's hard for me to admit this, I did a Sprint commercial.
What?
And yes, I did. And what it was it was a weird thing, because I don't usually do commercials. And here was the reasoning on this. I never go out for them, because the idea of promoting something that I don't believe in is just not something I can do. Mm-hmm. I don't have the constitution, the moral constitution, to do that. So I'm in Texas. I'm performing in Austin, Texas, having great shows.
Mm-hmm.
And one night there were these two women in the audience, look like Hollywood women. And they come up to me after the show and they go, hey, you're really great. We just saw your picture in the paper. I've never seen it before. My name's Barbara Koppel, which she's the director who directed Wild Man Blues and Harlan County.
Okay.
She's a big documentary or Academy Award winning director.
Mm-hmm.
We're shooting this commercial here, and we want to know if you want to come, read for it. So I'm like, I don't really do commercials. I just don't go out. Yeah, what's it for? She goes, Sprint. So here I am. I'm sitting there going, Sprint, huh? Well, to be honest with you, I've used Sprint for probably 9 years.
Okay.
So if I do a Sprint commercial, I'm not really being hypocritical.
You're familiar with the product.
Well, not only am I familiar with it, Riley, I have this weird thing where I will commit to things, for reasons that are beyond me. Because my wife, she'll be like, can we get T-Mobile? Can we do this? And there's some part of my brain that says, I've been with Sprint a long time. I'd probably upset them. If I left, I don't want to have that weird moment where I'm going somewhere else and I go, really? Are you sure? You've been with us a long time. You're like, you're right. You've been my friend a long time. It's just this weird loyalty thing. I know it's ridiculous, but... But the commercial, it only lasts for a second. You only see me for a second, but I'm in it, and I just don't want people freaking out, writing in, like, Maron sold out. What is Maron? Was that Mark Maron? It was. And, God willing, people actually be that, recognizing them, that, that they would actually have that moment where they're like, what the hell? It's him.
Well, give us some details, man. Tell us are you driving a car off a building or something?
Well, that's the thing. I signed an agreement that if I admit it, they would have to kill me. If I gave any details to the actual...
of the commercial?
Of the commercial itself, that I would be taken out and shot by the Sprint secret police.
Oh, okay. All right. So
it's part of a long series of that they shot at the school. So after I go do a voiceover part for this Sprint thing, then I got to go back home and get ready for Tough Crowd. So I go do Tough Crowd last night.
Okay.
And, I like doing Tough Crowd, but last night was a little weird. It was a little off. The audience didn't seem to realize that they had a part in it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was funny. But it was like, it didn't make me feel great. The middle part was good, and I wish I'd taken Colin to task one thing. He got all worked up about something.
Mm-hmm.
He's got this angle where it's like, you know, how come the New York Times only covers, you know, the torture? How come, you know, it's like torture? His basic idea is that all they're trying to do, the New York Times, is indict the president for the torture, and they're not giving enough coverage to, you know, the beheading. Like, the beheading was only there for a second. And I should have said, well, yeah, I mean, you're right. They should cover the beheading more because that would make it quite clear to everyone that this president is losing the war on terrorism.
Mm.
But I didn't, and it upset me. But the other, it was okay, but I didn't feel great.
What about the review of Out Magazine that you were supposed to do?
Oh, that one pretty good.
Okay.
That was pretty funny. We all had to review magazines, and I had to review Out Magazine. They gave me Out Magazine.
By the way, is a gay magazine for those of you who don't know.
Well, that's the thing. It gave me the opportunity to say, can I just say, first off, this magazine is so gay. It's so gay. And, you know, I had some funny jokes, and there was a free lube giveaway. There was a sample of lube in Out Magazine.
Ooh.
And I took it out, and I said, yeah, I can't really use this, and I gave it to Jim David, because he's gay, and he was sitting next to me, so we had a good comic.
He was up here, right? He's friend of the room, Jim
David.
He's
a funny dude. Yeah. So then I go to Caroline's for the Carrie thing.
Comics for Carrie
with Jim Gaffigan, Judy Gold, Belzer. I haven't seen Belzer in a long time. Sweet man. Always been supportive of me. Great guy. Eddie Brill was there. We had a great time. Someone recognized me from the radio. That always trips me out a little bit. They're like, you're Mark Maron. I came because I like you. And I want to say hi to her. How are you? I didn't get your name, but thank you for coming. Thank all the people that came from listening to Air America. It was a nice little event.
Really?
You know, I took the piss out of liberals a little bit. Cause I like to do that because we do that here on the air.
Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of funny. But it always makes me a little nervous because, like, I did a joke and one guy added to the joke. Like, you know, I did this whole joke about, you know, the Saddam Hussein thing that they're going to give him a reality show.
Oh,
they're
going
to let him go every few days and catch him again. We caught him again. Vote for us, you know. And some guy goes, yeah, it'd probably be on Fox. I go, see, exactly. See, that's what liberals do. They're like, that was a fine thought you had, but it would be much better with my opinion added to it. So that happened. So I was up late. I'm on stage at 8:30. I'm looking at my watch going, man, I got to be up in 10 minutes.
Yeah, right.
You know, so, you know, I get to bed at 10. My wife is still in town. I'm going crazy. Because, you know, when you got to get up this early, I'm laying in bed, and there's that moment where you're laying in bed going, how did I ever remember how to sleep? I know how to sleep, don't I? So I'm sitting there going, sleep should come naturally. It should just happen now. Now. It should happen now. It should happen now. And then it didn't happen. And it was horrendous. And then, you know, I had to, you know, then I, of course, because my wife's here and she's not usually here, I walk out of the bedroom and I'm mad at her. I can't sleep. Make it better. Make me sleep. Come on. Don't look at that. Don't look at me like that. All right. So, okay, that's enough about me. Let's move on.
Well,
we're teasing?
Well, are we teasing?
I'm talking to my
producer.
Let's
talk about some blurred distinctions between church and state. That's what we have to tease.
Okay.
When we come back, we're going to talk about Texas, George W. Bush's home state, the former home state of Carla Faye Tucker, who I saw a documentary about.
And the manifesto for the theocracy. That's what we're going to talk about.
Yep.
And I know that some of you are like, oh, no, more religion. Well, this is important. I think we can do it in a diplomatic way. So come back.
Do you know that 7 companies decide the films you get to see? As a result, fewer and fewer truly groundbreaking films are being released. So you, as a moviegoer, have less access to anything other than the standard Hollywood fare. Hi, I'm Larry Maestrich, founder of Film Movement, and producer of films such as Sling Blade and You Can Count On Me. Film Movement is a true grassroots movement of film fans who want greater access to alternative voices in film. Each month, subscribers to Film Movement receive an award-winning independent film to own on DVD, directly from top film festivals such as Cannes and Sundance. Subscribe to Film Movement through Air America at airamericaradio.com in June and receive a free copy of The Party's Over, a critically acclaimed documentary narrated by Philip Seymour Hoffman about the state of democracy in America. Everyone deserves access to the best new releases. These films deserve to be seen. Help us support independent thinking by joining Film Movement or giving Film Movement as a gift for Father's Day or graduation. Subscribe today at airamericaradio.com.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud. crowd, some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
I should say not.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600. Or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies.
Huh?
Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy Rewards Program subject to eligibility.
Good morning. It's 17 past the hour. I'm Mark Maron with Mark Riley, Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. You know, we do talk a bit about religion on this show, and, you know, I just want to reach out before we set up the story and say, you know, I really don't have a problem with what your belief system is or what you believe in, but, I mean, the real problem I have is I personally, from my point of view, think that religious extremism in America, the Christian right specifically, in its alignment with the current Republican Party, is very threatening. I mean, threatening to the point where I think seeds are being planted, to where all liberal, intellectual, thinking people, thinking Christians, people who have compassion and empathy for the human race, should be very concerned about the restrictions that are being designed for our morality and for the way our culture, you know, organizes itself. On that note, let's set up this story, Mark.
Well, Mark, what you just said is important because in a lot of instances, if you give folks an inch, they will take a block. If you give them a block, they'll take a mile. And that's what's going on in Texas at this point, where the Texas Republican Party has a plank in its 2004, not 1894, 2004 platform that calls the United States a Christian nation. Other language in the document says separation of church and state is a myth. The Anti-Defamation League is one organization that has a problem with the platform language of the Texas GOP. It says Texas Republicans should modify their language to, quoting here, reinforce principles that unite our diverse nation, end quote. Now, here's what we're going to do, Mark. We're going to set this up for the listeners. Here's the language of the Texas Republican platform and the language of the United States Constitution on the subject of religion. You decide, our listeners, if these two statements are at odds. The Texas Republican Party statement, quote, the Republican Party of Texas affirms that the United States of America is a Christian nation and the public acknowledgement of God is undeniable in our history, unquote. The First Amendment to the United States Constitution says, Congress, quote, shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, unquote. Now, you might look at those two things, Mark, and say, hey, they're two completely different things. They're not necessarily related.
Right.
But when you establish, particularly in a state like Texas, by the way, which has Muslims, which has Jews, which has a Vietnamese population that came there after the fall of Vietnam 20-some-odd years ago.
And also, most importantly, it is the Republicans are the majority party, and it is the third biggest state in the Union.
In the Union. That's right. Now, when you begin to have organizations within that party, within that state, saying essentially that Christianity is the religion of the state. That's what they're saying. Not only are they saying within the state of Texas, they are saying that the United States is a Christian nation and that the public acknowledgement of God is undeniable. In other words, there can be no way in the world that you can avoid acknowledging Christianity and the Christian roots of America.
And in right now, in the next, and this is directly, I'm reading from the 2004 State Republican Party platform of Texas. I mean, it's really brain bending, what they're trying to do. I mean, if to read the whole thing, our party believes all Americans have the right to practice a religious faith free from persecution, intimidation, and violence. Fine. While recognizing one's freedom from religion, this recognition should not limit others' free expression of their religious beliefs. Fine. Our party pledges to exert its influence to restore the original intent of the First Amendment of the United States Constitution and dispel the myth of the separation of church and state. Hello, excuse me. I know this may sound redundant or crazy, but they're saying that there is a myth that there needs to be a separation of church and state. We support the right of individuals in state and local governments to display symbols of our faith and heritage. We call on Congress to sanction any country that is guilty of persecuting its citizens because of religious belief. So they're fighting for basically they're saying, look, there is no separation between church and state. It's unnecessary. Our country has a long heritage of talking about God publicly, and there's no reason we shouldn't have crosses, the Ten Commandments, maybe crucifixes hanging in government offices. That should all be okay under this new platform.
Will Bush say anything about this in his own home state? Is he prepared at this point? Now, remember, this is a guy who is locked in a life and death struggle for his presidency at this point. Can he afford to let this stand? Or will he contact the Texas GOP and say, hey, you really ought to change this?
And this is what I want to do. I want to reach out to Christians and to Muslims and to anybody else who believes in true, freedom of diversity and the belief that, the separation of church and state is important, because this thing really eats me. And I've been mischaracterized as a Christian basher. You really can't believe whatever you want. I happen to be a little more secular than others, but I'm the first to acknowledge that Christian principles are human principles and that this government is exploiting some of these principles, most of them, in claiming, to be a legacy of the teachings of Jesus, which they're not. And I think that all good Christians and all reasonable people of faith should, group together and understand that, this administration, this Republican Party does not represent your best interests. And that's what I'm doing, as a liberal person. I just really wanted, draw a line here and make people understand that. I really do believe everyone has the right to believe whatever they want, but I believe that I have the right to believe it, whatever I want, and not be criticized for it. And on top of that, I believe that this administration and this, I believe, is the manifesto for the future of this country, this 2004 State Republican Party platform of Texas. I think they're slipping this in. They're slipping, extreme Christian right agenda into a lot of the administration, into the Food and Drug Administration, into the school boards, and now they're being shameless in this Republican Party platform. And I just think that people should elevate their consciousness and do whatever they have to do to convince your true Christian friends, your true Muslim friends, your true Buddhist friends, that this administration is anti-Christian and anti-freedom and anti-democracy, and it's clear and they're shameless about it.
Later on, we're going to talk a little bit about some increased fines for alleged indecency that the Senate is prepared to let the FCC levy. And I believe, Mark Maron, that there is not a great deal of difference between trying to squash freedom of speech on that level and what we're seeing. And not everybody may see this, but I see these two things as being related. I see the idea that you're going to establish the United States as a Christian nation, and the idea that someone somewhere is going to define for the nation, for this Christian nation, what is decent and what is indecent. And you can fine people up to, $3 million?
Yeah.
Over something that you define as indecent. I may think it's funny.
Yeah.
You may think it's not funny.
And then they're going to, I don't know who gets to decide these parameters of taste. I mean, this has always been an issue. It was an issue with Lenny Bruce. It was an issue with a lot of people. It was like, what is prurient interest? What is beyond the barriers of good taste, and what does it mean? When is it dangerous? And language, as dangerous as it should be allowed, because that's the way a democracy works. But another one of my big fears about this idea that we are a Christian nation in the word of mouth of the press that gets is, how does that appear to a world, where America is supposed to be the barometer of democracy, that by declaring the United States of America a Christian nation, it is at par with, accommodating a jihad. Because in the global environment they're in the wars that we're fighting, and the enemy that we are fighting, mm-hmm. that to be declared that this is a Christian nation, you know, is to, you know, assume their worst idea of what the enemy is.
Not only that, they are, what it indicates is that we are no longer, as Americans, if we ever were, prepared to lead by example. You cannot lead a nation full of Muslims by establishing yourself as a Christian nation and therefore better than them. That's the fundamental problem with the invasion of Iraq and our entire Middle East policy. And we're starting to see, again, with another tragic beheading, now the beheading of a South Korean man, you know, in Iraq, these kinds of sort of unspoken strictures that have been a part of American foreign policy, not just in the Middle East, but in Africa, in South America, and in many cases around the world, we're starting to see this come back and bite us. And part of the problem is that we refuse to get off of this idea that we know best. And see, establishing the United States as a Christian nation, to me, says America knows better than any other country what the rest of the world should be like, and certainly what we are as a people in this country. And we are not all Christians.
That's right. And let's quote George Washington, our founding father. Of all the animosities which have existed among mankind, those which are caused by difference of sentiments and religion appear to be the most inveterate and distressing, and ought most be deprecated. I was in hopes that the enlightened and liberal policy which has marked the present age would at least have reconciled Christians of every denomination so far that we should never again see religious disputes carried to such a pitch as to endanger the peace of society. And I think if we're going to look at what he was talking about, his reference to Christians, you know, being that he was, you know, a deist and a, I don't know if he was exactly a deist, but he was a private man in his religious beliefs. He was a God-believing person, but believed that you didn't publicize that. He also is basically saying here that, you know, what is right and good should be what, you know, religion and faith are about. And that is not what this administration is about. And, you know, schisms within the fabric of what Christianity is supposed to be about creates an almost holy war within this country. And I think that, you know, that that is happening, and I think that we have to be very critical of this Christian right. And, that, and we've got a guest coming up that we've got to shift gears a little bit. We'll get to more of this later. Thank you for calling. We'll take your calls later, but not right now. We didn't even solicit calls. Nice to see you guys.
Yeah.
And I understand your sentiment.
Well, we're going to be momentarily talking about those new State Department figures on worldwide terror because they came out yesterday. And we're going to be talking to former State Department counterterrorism expert Larry Johnson about them very, very shortly. Still to come as well, the presidential Palm Pilot and the liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. Don't go away. This is Air America Radio.
If you're not outraged, you're not paying attention.
Have you ever walked by someone and laughed at their t-shirt? Or saw a bumper sticker that were your exact thoughts?
Well-behaved women seldom make history.
Did you wish you could get one like it? Do you want to find a way to express your political views for all to see? Well, you can. For 25 years, Northern Sun Merchandising has been supplying humorous and politically conscious products, including bumper stickers, posters, buttons, and of course, t-shirts.
One nation under surveillance.
So express yourself with Northern Sun Merchandising at www.northernsun.com or call 800-258-8579 for a catalog.
God bless the whole world. No exceptions.
Often humorous, never dull at Northern Sun. That's 800-258-8579 for a catalog or visit northernsun.com.
And remember, regime change begins at home.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. According to documents released yesterday, President Bush claimed the right to waive anti-torture laws and treaties covering prisoners of war after the invasion of Afghanistan, and Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld authorized guards to strip detainees and threaten them with dogs. Family of beheaded South Korean national Kim Sun-il remains understandably distraught following his execution yesterday. His urgent pleas for his government to follow the instructions of his captors fell on deaf ears. Kim is the third ordered foreign hostages to be decapitated. U.S. Army announced that it staged a persistent strike against a suspected safe house for operatives of terrorist Abu Musab al-Zarqawi yesterday. The attack was staged just days before the transfer of power in Iraq and hours after the announcement of Kim Sun-il's beheading. And there's word that rocker Bruce Springsteen may be enlisted to upstage President Bush at the upcoming GOP convention on the very day of his coronation to run for a second term. Wayne Gilman, Air American Radio News.
Paid for by MSGLP, a member of the New York Association for Better Choices.
Oh, come on, let's go. Yeah, I've been driving a cab in New York for 30 years, and I've never seen the traffic in Manhattan worse. It's ridiculous. Sometimes the cars are stacked up, even when the light's green. It's like a parking lot out here. So now, they want to build the most expensive football stadium in history. And put it where? Yeah, not Queens, where there's a lot of wide-open space. No, they want to put it in Midtown. Hey, they gotta be kidding. Even worse, they want us to pay for it. $600 million of our tax dollars. $600 million, right out of my pocket and yours. Not for firehouses or schools, but to build a stadium. And you know what we're going to get for it? A $600 million traffic jam.
To stop the Westside Football Stadium, log on at www.newyorkabc.org.
So you're lying there watching your soon-to-be first baby on the ultrasound monitor, and you're thinking you really have to start saving for a bigger house and college. And college? How are you going to pay for that? And then you relax, because you're not in this alone. See, your State Farm agent will be helping with things like life insurance and college savings plans. And then the nurse says, okay, finish. And you say, no, we want to keep watching.
Start planning with the State Farm agent you know from the company you trust. State Farm, providing insurance and financial services. The Majority Report.
CNN, she's asked point blank, what's your personal view on stem cell research? And Laura Bush says, everyone supports stem cell research, and so did the president. After just saying three interviews ago that she did not endorse Nancy Reagan's position on additional funding.
Well, also on CNN, she knows that's the demo of CNN. Because on Fox, you have people that are mentally challenged, hill folk, and militias, and Klan members.
Right.
The Majority Report on Air America Radio.
Past the hour here on Wednesday. We're firing on all cylinders. I didn't think I could do it, but I'm doing it. Beautiful. Right now it's time for the Presidential Palm Pilots. My buddy in the Oval Office who cleans up after the mess that the president makes on a daily basis. He downloads this from the presidential computer. Here's the president's schedule for today, June 23rd, 7 o'clock a.m. Wake up, stay on message. Beheadings bad. Korean beheading slightly less bad, politically speaking. 8:35 a.m. Fly to Pennsylvania. Screw up their morning commute. 10:25 a.m. Make remarks on compassion and HIV/AIDS, Philadelphia. Praise the courage of Tom Hanks for beating AIDS in this very city. 12:45 p.m. Attend Victory 2004 fundraiser. Private residence, Villanova. Let loose with the AIDS jokes I had bottled up for 2 hours ago. 3:05 p.m. Return to White House. Check bathroom for loose stem cells. 4:10 p.m. Ceremony for Presidential Medal of Freedom winners. Winners include Robert Bartley, some writer guy, some teacher guy, some explorer guy, Rita Moreno, Doris Day, Pope John Paul II, and Arnold Palmer. Opening remarks. Al-Qaeda hates our freedom, and they hate our Presidential Medal of Freedom, and that means Al-Qaeda hates Doris Day. Note, show Arnold Palmer the clip of me golfing in Fahrenheit 9/11. Note, find out why the Pope can't get off his lazy ass and accept his medal in person. Get Rumsfeld on this. 5:30 p.m., bid goodbye to all honorees as if you were friends and had anything in common. 6 p.m., lock self in Lincoln bathroom. Give Medal of Freedom to that guy in the mirror. Thank the president. Shed tears. 9 p.m., lights out. Rub metal against tummy until drowsy. Now, if you didn't know, significant acts of terror worldwide, which reached a 21-year high in 2003, the State Department announced Tuesday as it corrected a mistaken report that had been cited to boost President Bush's war on terror. Our guest, who we have on the phone right now, is a former CIA analyst and a former deputy director of State's counterterrorism office. He was one of the first to see the flaws in the original State Department report. We welcome Larry Johnson to the show. Good morning, Larry.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
Been all right.
What exactly is this report calculating? Why is it so important?
Well, it keeps track of international terrorism. So
right.
It gives you a sense of which way the wind's blowing. The problem is that even the revision is still incorrect.
What do you mean?
Whoa! Wait a minute.
Yeah.
The revision that they put out yesterday is wrong?
Yes. If you go in and look at the narrative, the text of the report that deals with Russia records 13 attacks that killed 244 people and injured, I think it's 692. I've forgotten, last time I counted it.
Uh-huh.
They don't include a single one of those incidents in the significant incident section.
So the numbers are still not right, and they're still lower than what is reality.
Correct.
Wow. So now...
So, this one I don't get. And now, they may argue that, those attacks were domestic to Russia. They don't fit international terrorism, except the problem with the Chechens is there are clear links with Al Qaeda operatives, there's no dispute over that. So this is a case where maybe they're using methodology to keep certain numbers out. But
methodology. Wait, let's flesh that out a little bit. Are you saying they're cooking the books at all?
No, not that. This gets more to where you allow the definition
mm-hmm.
to rule what goes in and out without actually using common sense.
But isn't their use of language how they sort of squirm out of a lot of things?
Not in this case, because I know a lot of the guys that are involved with putting this together. And
okay.
They've worked under Clinton, and they've worked under the George Bush Sr., so they aren't inclined to politicize this part. But what has happened is the much-vaunted Terrorism Threat Integration Center, which was supposed to clear up all of this stuff, was the one that actually created the problem. They've subcontracted this out. That's the thing I don't get. Why do you take one of the most important issues that you have and subcontract it out?
Usually it seems to me that the reason they do that is so they, if something does go wrong, they can blame someone outside.
That would be the cynical view. You too could be an intelligence analyst.
Uh-oh. Larry Johnson, let me ask you this. I mean, it seems as though Secretary of State Colin Powell, when he first had to admit that the original figures were wrong, he seemed completely bewildered about the process by which that took place. Did you see in the amended report any kind of information at all about how they got the numbers wrong in the first place?
Well, no, I know how they got the numbers wrong. I was the one who found
them. Yeah, you kind of fleshed it out for them.
It's just a matter of they didn't add properly. Now, what the new version does have, which is a positive step, is they've broken out the significant incidents, which means a significant incident, someone who was killed or wounded, kidnapped, or property damage in excess of $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
And then they've also included the non-significant incidents. I sat up last night and went through and recounted. I think that they're still off by at least one number, and then the other 13 that I mentioned, the deal with Russia. But Powell, he wasn't involved with having to add up the numbers. TTIC was the one initially. He just, frankly, couldn't add.
So now, Larry, the none of these numbers include Iraq or Afghanistan.
No, they do include Iraq and Afghanistan.
Right, can we flesh that out in just a second? Will you stay with us, and we're going to take a break and come back?
Okay.
Terrific. Fantastic. Stay with us. Larry Johnson will be back, and he's going to answer some of these more questions about how these numbers got so screwed up on this terror report. And we're going to go into the terror report more in depth after this.
What happened to you? You look different.
I had the Diamond Vision Miracle.
The Diamond Vision Miracle? What's that?
Now I can see 20/20 without glasses or contact lenses.
I bet that's a relief.
A relief? It's a huge life change. It's a miracle.
It's time for you to be free of glasses and contact lenses through the miracle of bladeless LASIK from Diamond Vision. Diamond Vision is the number one LASIK practice in the tri-state area, with 6 convenient locations. And with customized bladeless LASIK, you can have sharper day and night vision than ever before. In fact, Diamond Vision has performed more custom view bladeless procedures than any other practice in the tri-state area, and they're the only ones who actually teach it to other doctors. Don't wait to see all that you can see. Schedule your free consultation online at diamondvision.org or call 1-800-984-2020. That's 1-800-984-2020. Also take advantage of their exclusive 24-month free financing. Call 1-800-984-2020. That's 1-800-984-2020.
What was that miracle again?
The Diamond Vision Miracle.
Call 1-800-984-2020.
Mom, can you take me to Supercuts?
Excuse me? Since when do you care what you look like?
Seriously, Mom, I need a haircut.
Is it a girl? Oh, my Lord, you're already into girls. My little boy's growing up. Oh, soon you'll be in college.
Mom, I'm 7.
And then you'll marry this girl, who we haven't even met yet, and be a big corporate executive. Oh, you look so good in a suit.
Are you going to take me to Supercuts, or should I call a cab?
And you'll be bringing the grandkids on the
Let's face it, your kids are growing up whether you like it or not. That's why Supercuts promises to give them a look you'll both love. Usually quicker than it takes to get them to brush their teeth.
Dad, can you take me to Supercuts?
Supercuts? Jeez, where's the time gone? I mean, you were just a little baby, and now you're in school, growing hair.
Supercuts. We know how it is.
With over 1,700 locations, it's never been more convenient to let Supercuts take care of you and your hair. Call 1-800-SUPERCUTS or log on to supercuts.com for a location nearest you. And while you're there, check out the latest episode of The Mop Squad.
Gary Boland, COVID technician on reality television.
Oh, you mean the news?
On global warming.
I love summer.
And on business broadband.
I'm glad you asked. You know, the key to choosing broadband is the same as any business decision. It's value. At COVID, you get broadband built for business for less than the local phone company's repackaged residential plans. In fact, your business could save hundreds of dollars a year with COVID. Plus, with the security of SDSL dedicated lines and 99.9% uptime guaranteed, you can relax, knowing your business isn't going to hit a brick wall. Now, I could go on.
Gary Boland on astrology.
Well, I've always wanted to go to space.
Business broadband. COVID knows it like nobody else. To get broadband billed for business, call 1-800-555-0454. Plus, get a free router after mail-in rebate through June 30th, 2004, when your business signs up at 1-800-555-0454 or gocovid.com. See website for guaranteed details and availability. Saving based on published rates, March 10, 2004.
Forty-two past the hour, we're talking to Larry Johnson, a former CIA analyst and former deputy director of the state's counterterrorism office, about the newly released, corrected State Department terror report. And, you know, this thing is off by dozens of fatalities, dozens of incidences. The first report was way low. Now you're saying that it's still low. And also we were trying to, I wanted to address if it does include Iraq and Afghanistan.
It does include Iraq and Afghanistan. It differentiates between non-combatant deaths, which is part of the terrorism definition, and combatant deaths. So in other words, if any soldier, U.S. coalition otherwise, is carrying a weapon, is involved in combat operations, gets killed, that's not recorded as terrorism. That's recorded as just the bad luck of war.
Right.
If it is someone who is a soldier, but they're off, hanging out at a bar trying to unwind and they get killed, then that would be considered terrorism.
I get it. Now, let me just be, like, I guess, pretty blunt here. In our eyes, and we've been talking about this since since that first survey on terrorism came out a while back, which was the, what was that called, Mark?
That was the one in April?
Right, the International Institute of Strategic Studies.
Patterns of Global Terrorism.
Right,
that's
right.
That's the annual report.
Now, it would strike me that the Bush's policy is not succeeding. It is losing the war on terror and actually, you know, making it worse to some degree, because of the, they didn't stay in Afghanistan to really, you know, nip some of this stuff in the bud, and now they've made Iraq a terrorist manufacturing plant.
Well, the statistics, and again, this doesn't get to, I like to get things out of being opinions into facts.
Okay.
And here are
okay.
the facts. It is true that the number of significant terrorist incidents are at the highest level ever recorded,
okay,
which means the number of people getting killed and injured per incident is at the highest level.
Okay.
And who's responsible for that? Almost 90% of those attacks are attributable to Islamic extremists. So instead of going into Iraq and making the world safer, it has made the world more dangerous. That's
okay.
just a fact.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Larry Johnson is a former CIA analyst and former deputy director of the State Department's Counterterrorism Office. Larry, I wanted to ask you how you, as a deputy director in the Counterterrorism Office, interface, if at all, when you had that job, how did you interface with, for example, your opposite number in the Defense Department, maybe a counterterrorism people in the CIA? Was there really good coordination among these different offices?
Well, there's coordination, and you talk to each other, but part of being in a government bureaucracy is you spend a lot of time defending your own turf. I remember when I was there, my full title was Deputy Director, Transportation Security, Special Operations, Anti-Terrorism Assistance. In Washington, the longer your title, the less important you are. So I had a really long time.
Well, you know, you talked about transportation. What do you think of the job that the TSA has done, and should the Department of Homeland Security get rid of it?
No, I think TSA has made a step in the right direction. It is, the airport's still a hassle, but I think overall we're safer. To the Bush administration's credit, we have done some good things that have prevented Al-Qaeda from being able to launch attacks here.
Right.
But that said, we've got some real significant problems overseas, and unfortunately, the Islamic extremists are escalating their activity.
Yeah.
What do you do about that, Larry Johnson? We have seen beheadings now. South Korean man beheaded, Paul Johnson beheaded, Nicholas
Berg and Danny Pearl.
And Danny Pearl. We've seen these kinds of extremely barbaric acts taking place. And I think a lot of Americans are kind of at a loss at how their government should respond to them, if at all.
Yeah, pity the poor guys that beheaded the South Korean, because good friends of mine who served in Vietnam, where the Koreans were, said that the North Vietnamese became just scared to death, because when they were brutalized, when the Koreans were brutalized, they turned around, they would skin people alive and string them up on a fence.
So they're going to give them a taste of their own medicine.
Oh, yeah, no. Unfortunately, I heard some congressman yesterday saying, oh, these people are the most barbaric we've ever been against, and I'm thinking, where were you when the Japanese were beheading people in China, and when the North Koreans were disemboweling Americans during the Korean War? It's like, there are some barbaric people out there, and we've been involved with wars where this has happened. It's like, we need to put it into perspective. It's terrible, but dying is dying. I don't care how you do it.
Yeah, it's just it's a little rugged for people when it's videotaped and available.
I think there's an element where people get upset that they can't watch it on television.
Yeah,
I'll go back to the cynical view.
Yeah, I'm with you on the cynical view. It frightens me that Fox might start a separate station with just beheading and torture and terror. The All Terror Network.
Larry Johnson, how do you assess the terror situation inside of Iraq? That's where this South Korean man was killed. It wasn't in Saudi Arabia. There are people who make the argument that Iraq has become as much a hotbed for terror as the Bush administration says it was before we invaded.
Well, before we invaded, Iraq was not a hotbed for terror. In fact, from 1992 to 2002, out of the almost 4,500 international acts of terrorism, Iraq was only implicated in 83 of them, and none of those were mass casualty.
Wait, but so, does that mean Dick Cheney is lying?
Yes.
Good.
That or he's delusional.
Both.
They suggest that he have a drug test to see if he's being on some hallucinogens.
Outside of the heart drugs or the things he needs to
Again, you got to understand, I'm a registered Republican and voted for the chucklehead. And I'm sitting here watching this fantasy and recreation of reality, and I just, I don't know what to do. I'm beside myself.
Doesn't it seem like their new policy is to make everything so confusing and baffling and displace blame to such a degree and lie to where people are just like, I don't know anything other than I'm scared and I don't want to change?
Well, I hope people will just simply say, let's look at the facts and let's force the truth out. And then, because like your lead-in, I thought that was right on target. They can say with one hand, oh, yeah, we oppose stem cell, and then when they say, oh, yeah, we're in favor of it, and you tailor it to your audience. You can't do that.
Yeah, especially
the facts are facts.
Especially when you're getting caught and they're flip-flopping all over the place.
Right.
I really appreciate you being here, Larry Johnson. It was really great talking to you.
It was quite enlightening. You made some news this morning, Larry.
Like I said, don't take my word for it. Open the book. Count the numbers yourself.
Okay.
It can be an educational experience with your kids.
Thank you, Larry Johnson, former CIA analyst and deputy director, former deputy director of the state's counterterrorism office.
Dick Cheney, chucklehead.
Really good stuff. We'll be back with more good stuff. We've got the liberal agenda. We got more fun. We'll take your calls later. Come back.
This year, you are going to quit smoking. Whether you've said it for years or you're trying for the very first time, there's a revolutionary new system that's guaranteed to help you succeed or your money back. Smoke RX has a 95% success rate, so we guarantee that you'll be completely smoke-free and cravings-free in as little as 1 week. Unlike gums or patches, Smoke RX is a complete system that includes natural herbs to curb your cravings safely without nicotine. Best of all, Smoke RX starts to work immediately. Come on, aren't you willing to give yourself 1 week to quit? We're so confident that Smoke RX will work for you that we're giving away a free month supply with all of today's orders. Whether you're doing it for yourself or for the ones you love, Smoke RX is the fast, guaranteed answer. In as little as 1 week, you'll kick the habit for good or your money back. Call now to receive a free month supply with your order.
To order risk-free, call 1-800-305-2704. That's 1-800-305-2704. Call 1-800-305-2704 now.
Having trouble sleeping? Then listen to the experts. Over 25,000 doctors, chiropractors, and sleep clinics worldwide recommend the biggest breakthrough in better sleep, the Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress. Call now for your free mattress sample at 1-800-611-9977. The Tempur-Pedic mattress works like no conventional mattress can. Its high-tech material contours to your body, relieving the pressure points that make you toss and turn. It erases aches and pains, even for people with back troubles. In fact, 92% of owners surveyed say their Tempur-Pedic bed is far superior to their old innerspring mattress, air, or water bed. Judge for yourself. Call 1-800-611-9977 for a free sample of the Tempur-Pedic mattress material. You'll also get a free Better Sleep video and a 90-day trial offer guarantee. Want to sleep better? Listen to the experts and call Tempur-Pedic now. 1-800-611-9977. That's 1-800-611-9977.
Hello from Athens, Greece, folks. Now, if you're a big sports fan like me, this is the place to be. They've got them all. Take fencing. My sword of choice is always the foil over the saber in F.A. You've got to see it. That's why Connell Lodge and Roadway Inn Hotels have created the Wake Up a Winner sweepstakes. You could win a trip to the big events in Athens. To enter, visit choicehotels.com, or every time you stay at a Connell Lodge and Roadway Inn Hotels this summer, you'll get a game piece with a chance to win hundreds of prizes and discounts off your next stay. Wake Up a Winner. To book, call 800-4-CHOICE or go to choicehotels.com. Well, I'm off to rhythmic gymnastics, where it always comes down to who nails the tightest ribbon snake. Choice Hotel. We'll see you there.
No purchase necessary. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 and older. Void where prohibited. Promotion runs June 7th through August 29th, 2004. For official rules and how to enter without purchase, visit choicehotels.com.
Past the hour. It's morning sedition. I'm Mark Maron. This is Mark Riley.
Hey!
We just talked to Larry Johnson, a former CIA analyst and a former deputy director of State's Counterterrorism Office, who said not only is this revised terrorist attack report,
wrong.
It's still wrong. Is basically I set it up with not only, and I realized that that was supposed to come later. That it was supposed to be corrected with the right numbers, which are higher. And Colin Powell said last week that it wasn't a book cooking thing because they can't do that now.
Yeah.
But it's Larry Johnson said it's still a little low because there was some things that happened in Russia that weren't put in. A lot of people forget that in Chechnya and that region, there's a lot of Islamic fundamental radicalism going on,
and
terrorism.
Direct links to Al-Qaeda, and he also called our vice president a liar.
Yes, and a chucklehead.
And a chucklehead.
Yeah. Mm. But let's take a look at some of these. Let's flesh this out a little.
Inside the news.
Yeah, because, I mean, we got right into the guest, but there is a State Department terror report that came into question, I guess a week or so ago, because Waxman,
Henry Waxman, Henry Waxman, congressman from California,
called the State Department on their BS and said, look, these numbers can't be right. And Colin Powell then came out and said, yeah, you're right. They're not right. There was something wrong with the calculator.
Yep.
And it turns out that it was way wrong. Like the original report for November of 2003, I guess it is, it reported 2 attacks and 1 fatality. And this is in the revised version that came out yesterday, 20 attacks, 78 fatalities reported in November 2003. And in December, in the original report, 0 attacks reported. In December, in the revised version, 8 attacks and 19 fatalities reported. I mean, these are big differences. And, in Armitage, you know, who was, you know, pushing this original report.
That's Richard Armitage, who is the Deputy Secretary of State, Colin Powell's number two.
Said that it provided clear evidence that we're prevailing in this fight. And for them to say, Larry Johnson called me a cynic, but for them to say...
he called us both cynics.
Yeah. For them to say that, you know, this was not, you know, a political oversight or some form of book cooking, it becomes completely suspect because this administration is not only secretive, they refuse to take responsibility for anything. They will constantly displace the blame until hopefully it'll dissipate and people will be so baffled or tired that they won't seek the truth. But I believe that there is no end to the covert and manipulative and lying, you know, manifestations of this administration.
You know what this is like, don't you? You know what this is like? This is like a spouse who catches their spouse, their significant other, cheating.
Right.
Okay. And the significant other says, okay, well, I'm not going to do it again. Yeah. And then they stay out for 3 days. And then they come home and say, well, gee, what were you doing?
And, then they, go,
and they have a, you know, I was over here this day, and I was over here this day, and you weren't cheating, were you? Oh, no.
I wasn't
doing anything.
And what difference does it make? That was 2 days ago.
That was 2 days ago. It's old history. Ancient news. I mean, it really, it's that kind of... I guess from most women's point of view, pathological behavior that it seems to, maybe I'm linking the wrong stuff up, Maren. Maybe my brain doesn't work the same way everybody else.
I wish it was pathological behavior. It is pathological, but the only reason it's not pathological is because it's political and it's intentional. And these guys will flip-flop around. They will do whatever they can to appease whatever few voters they have left that they're doing a good job. And if you believe in this administration at all, you have any doubts in your mind, and you're not some sort of billionaire that's getting a tax cut, and you're just stupid. I mean, it's like, I don't know how clear this stuff has to be. These guys are criminal. They're devious. They will not take responsibility for anything. They're killers, and they misled this country into a war that didn't have to be fought. They've made the world rife with terrorism. The entire world is a disaster. If they'd stayed in Afghanistan, you know, long enough just to, like, you know, nip it in the bud and do the right thing as opposed to go, hey, we got an opening here. Let's just go over there and do that. They might have actually succeeded in doing something.
Whoa! I hear something. I hear a machine.
I get worked up, you know. And we, you know, we're going to talk about the terror.
We're going to talk about the torture report. We're going to talk about all of this stuff.
Next
hour.
We've
got plenty of time.
All right, let's do some funny. Here's the liberal agenda for today. Get your notebook. One, applaud the new 1.6 million member class action suit against Walmart. Then criticize it for being so big and impersonal. Two, organize porn workers into United Brotherhood of Fluffers. Oh, they need representation, those guys. Three, initiate conflict resolution between vegans and ovolactoites. Four, tell people waiting in ticket lines for Fahrenheit 9/11 that you already saw it at Cannes. Yeah. Poo-poo to you. I was there. Where were you? Couldn't afford the ticket? Oh. Five, today's phrase, just drop it into conversation. No falafel for me today. I'm protesting the beheadings. Whoa.
In the next hour of Morning's Edition, Gore goes back on the attack, Mark Maron's dream diary, and Bill Clinton on sex in the media, all coming up on Air America Radio.
Hello from Athens, Greece. Leave it to Econo Lodge and Roadway Inn Hotels to create the Wake Up a Winner sweepstakes. Go to choicehotels.com to learn how to enter, and you can win a trip to the big events in Athens. To book, call 800-4-CHOICE or go to choicehotels.com. Choice Hotels. We'll see you there.
No purchase necessary. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 and older. Void where prohibited. Promotion runs June 7th through August 29th, 2004. For official rules and how to enter without purchase, visit choicehotels.com.
Home. It's the place you like to make warm and inviting. What could be more welcoming than the aroma of fresh coffee brewing? When a coffee is Starbucks, the experience only gets richer. You'll find Starbucks coffee at your grocery store, so you can enjoy it at home. Its distinctive roasting style and rich, authentic taste show how seriously we pursue the art of coffee. Savor its aroma, then pour a cup and invite your senses to take flight. Starbucks coffee at your grocery store.
You're listening to 1190 WLIB New York, the home of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The Bush administration is doing its level best this morning to blunt growing speculation that it condoned torture of its detainees in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. White House yesterday ordered the release of documents on how they handled prisoners to show it had nothing to hide, but those documents released late yesterday reveal that the president claimed the right to waive anti-torture laws and treaties covering prisoners of war after the invasion of Afghanistan, and Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld gave the green light for guards to strip detainees and threaten them with dogs. That information surfaced just hours after President Bush told reporters at the White House that he would never condone or order the torture. In a related development, the Justice Department has disavowed a memo written in 2002 that appeared to justify the use of torture in the war on terror. More disturbing news about the U.S. military's involvement in Iraq. Deputy Defense Secretary Paul Wolfowitz told the House Armed Services Committee yesterday, "Don't be fooled by demands of Iraq's new interim government for total control of its forces after the transfer to sovereignty." Wolfowitz says U.S. troops could be stationed in Iraq for years. Pentagon official says helping to impose martial law might actually be something that we might mutually agree was necessary to bring order in what he describes as a very difficult place. International terrorism claimed the lives of 625 people last year. That's double the number of deaths the Bush administration cited originally in a faulty report used to argue it's winning the war on terrorism. But a former official of the U.S. State Department, Larry Johnson, told Air America's Morning Edition just moments ago that even that figure is wrong. Johnson says once you do the math, there were more victims of terrorism.
The problem is that even the revision is still incorrect.
What do you mean?
Whoa! Wait a minute. Yeah. The revision that they put out yesterday is wrong?
Yes. The text of the report that deals with Russia records 13 attacks that killed 244 people and injured, I think it's 692. They don't include a single one of those incidents in the significant incidents section.
So the numbers are still not right, and they're still lower than what is reality.
Correct.
That was the voice of Larry Johnson, a former official of the U.S. State Department, in an exchange with Morning's Edition's Mark Merritt and Mark Riley. The amended State Department report was released yesterday showing more victims of terror. The report entitled Patterns of Global Terrorism has embarrassed the administration and dented its claim that Washington is prevailing in the war on terrorism, a key part of President Bush's re-election strategy. Another group of prisoners has been released from Abu Ghraib prison outside Baghdad, bringing the total number of inmates released to more than 2,000 over the last 2 months. Military spokesman says the released prisoners had either served their time or were let go because of insufficient evidence. Abu Ghraib has been at the center of the prisoner abuse scandal. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
More and more, people who are HIV positive are controlling the virus with medications and are living well. A new research study seeks to determine if certain drugs, still experimental, will improve HIV patients' immune systems enough to allow them to stop taking medication. I'm Dr. Kendall Smith, Chief of Immunology at the New York Weill Cornell Medical Center. Our six-month research study tests low-dose daily interleukin-2 and an HIV vaccine with a treatment interruption. People who are taking HIV medications have undetectable HIV in the blood and have at least 400 T-cells are eligible to take part. If you or someone you know may be eligible, I urge you to call about enrolling in the research study. 1-800-822-2694 or log on to our website, HIVHCVtrials.net. The toll-free number is 1-800-822-2694 and the website is HIVHCVtrials.net.
A new kitchen, a home gym, new skylights, a deck, landscaping.
Now at LendingTree.com, you can select a real estate agent, choose a mortgage, and get up to a $2,000 gift card to the Home Depot. Just close with an agent certified by LendingTree.com, and the Home Depot shopping spree is yours. Call 1-800-555-TREE. That's 1-800-555-TREE. Or visit LendingTree.com. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions may apply. See website for details and licensing. Lending Tree Inc. is not affiliated with Home Depot.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud, crowd, some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
Well, I should say not.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600. Or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
Randy Rhodes.
So Bush sits in the classroom, and this is part of the report. Now they say he was only there an extra 7 minutes. So I had said 15, they say 7. Just 7 minutes after he knew we were under attack. He just stayed there an extra 7 minutes. That's all he wasted. But the first plane hits at 8:46 in the morning. He wasn't in the classroom yet, but he does go because his cell phone didn't work. Oh, my God. I knew there was a perfectly reasonable explanation.
Randy Rhodes on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm Mark Maron here along with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley on Air America Radio. It's 6 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Today is Wednesday. We're going to get through it. Is the world ready for a brand new chapter in my dream diary? Some of you might be. Some of you are like, no, no. Plus, we'll hear from President Clinton in an interview you didn't see. That's coming up. Right now, I've got Mark Riley here. Sue Ellicott has a week off.
Yep.
So it's just the two of us. The two Marks. Mark and Mark.
Hey. Morning, Sue. Making news.
Ooh. Oh, I wanted to make a noise.
Uh-oh.
I want a morning zoo noise. Wait.
Wait.
You got? Is it on? It's Mark and Mark in the morning. Oh, yeah. And maybe one of these.
Oh.
I'm sorry, I'm sorry.
You're going straight to hell, Maron.
There are liberals out there going, why are they laughing?
Yeah, right.
Why are they laughing?
It's not funny.
Just don't they understand the intensity and the dire situation we're in and how much we have to think about it and talk about it until we're exasperated by it and we feel powerless and there's nothing we can do? There is something we can do. We must all join together and stop these people.
Rise up!
I did a Kerry benefit last night. It was very encouraging. Everybody, reflected for a few seconds on Kerry's platforms. Okay. Sam Greenfield said something interesting. He's the host of a radio show.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yes, yeah.
He just said, well, we said it here before, too. Like, people are always like, what's Kerry doing? What's Kerry doing? Kerry's waiting. He doesn't seem to need to do anything. This guy's burying himself. George Bush is digging his own hole. The whole administration is digging their own hole. And I don't understand what they think people are thinking, that they can, you know, they can lie about numbers. They can lie about tortures. They can, you know, manipulate, you know, memos. They can manipulate lawyers into saying that what they did was okay today, not tomorrow, flip-flop on everything. Are they really just trying to baffle the American public? And the American public, you know, outside of our listeners and a few people, you know, who are enlightened enough to just, you know, keep up with the news, most people do not read the news.
Okay, now let me stop you there for
a
second, because I want to run something by you real quick, because I know you're an intelligent guy.
Sometimes.
Here comes the Bush administration.
Yeah.
Saying, we don't torture. We don't torture people.
Right.
That's not part of our
repertoire.
Then comes memos
that
say, you know what? Maybe we've been thinking about torturing.
Yeah.
Maybe torture's not such a bad thing.
Wouldn't be a bad environment to create in a wartime situation.
So then when people begin to question that, and people come up to the step to them and say, hey, wait a minute, here's some memos we've heard about that say, yes, you do torture.
You did make
you
it
You don't
okay.
have a problem with torture.
Yes.
And then they say, well, here's the memos, but they don't mean anything anymore because we're going to change them.
Yeah, yeah, that was old stuff. You know, that was before.
No, that was yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I know you got these pictures and stuff, and that seems like evidence, but we understand that's not really torture. That was sort of like, that was goofy. That was goofy stuff we were doing. And these memos, yeah, you're right. We're going to change that.
We're going to change it, yeah. But it doesn't mean that we were in favor of torture.
We're going to have to flesh that out a little bit because this whole thing is baffling. I mean, it's working on me. And, like, granted, I don't have the greatest ability to compartmentalize stuff, and I'm not wonky, and I'm, you know, I have a hard time maintaining a narrative sometimes. But I do know that this administration is secretive. They're liars. They manipulate. They displace blame. They don't take responsibility. And they take it for granted that they can baffle and confuse and frighten enough of the American public to the point where they will vote for them out of lack of knowing what else to do. And the truth of the matter is on the Internet,
national level, if John Kerry is not our president, you know, come November, we are in big trouble because this president has done nothing but exacerbate terrorism globally, and now he's trying to define this country through his friends in Texas and the Republican Party platform in Texas as a Christian nation, literally instigating a holy war. And I, you know, this is my opinion, and that's where it stands.
No, I agree with you. And on top of everything else, they make my head hurt. It's just so blatant.
And who do we have to rely on, you know, for a little bit of clarity?
How dare they?
There you go.
Al Gore. He's coming back around the plank to shout a little more. You know, if Kerry's going to lay low and just, you know, make his plans and also, you know, put the stuff out there, you know, in the sort of subtle but powerful way that Kerry does, you know, and just wait for the right moment, Gore is going to come out and punch away for the Democratic Party, the reunited Democratic Party.
Just picture George W. Bush as Smarty Jones in the Belmont. And picture John Kerry as the horse that beat him.
Okay,
ran past him in the last 100 yards. Al Gore, as you very correctly point out, Mark, is back on the warpath. He's making a major policy address in Washington tomorrow. And reports say he will accuse the Bush administration of deliberately misleading the American people by citing the link between Saddam Hussein and al-Qaeda. The report says Bush will say that the Bush-Cheney administration has institutionalized dishonesty. He'll also urge the media to stand up to the president, according to this report. You may remember the last time Al Gore spoke his mind. It was in New York City, right here where we're broadcasting from, and he was talking to MoveOn.org.
How dare the incompetent and willful members of this Bush-Cheney administration humiliate our nation and our people in the eyes of the world and in the conscience of our own people. How dare they subject us to such dishonor and disgrace? How dare they drag the good name of the United States of America through the mud of Saddam Hussein's torture prison.
Well, man, that made my nipples hard.
Yep, I'm telling you.
Wow, that raises the hair on your back of your neck a little bit. You know, he's all full of the fury, man, and I, you know, thank God for it. I think someone should set that to a hip-hop beat. How come that hasn't happened? You know what I mean? Just so you get that. You know who used to do
that? Maybe they need to put it to Jay-Z and the Beatles, and then we'll have a Gore Gray album. How about that?
This is going to keep Fleetwood Mac out of it. And wait, what?
You know what? I was there when they played.
Oh, man.
And I just want to, don't stop. Come on. Could you come up with something better than that?
There's got to be something better than that. So what he's talking about here, and most recently, is Cheney's persistent lying to try to brainwash the stupid people of this country into continuing to believe that there was a link between Iraq and al-Qaeda previous to the war. And that was disproved. That's fine. Because Representative Commissioner John Layman, who was on the 9/11 Commission, he's the Navy Secretary of Ronald Reagan, said that new documents indicated that at least one officer, Saddam Fedayeen, an elite army suit, was a very prominent member of al-Qaeda. And this was the thing that Cheney was saying, well, we might have more information.
We have more intelligence.
Right. When Cheney infantilized this 9/11 commission and saying, you know, it's very nice what you guys did, but, you know, I'm the vice president. It's my right to have a little something that you don't. Thanks for the paperwork. Appreciate all the work. Here's your check. See you later. He disgraced that commission that was put together to aid the American people in seeking the truth. And it turns out that the guy that they thought was the link just had a very common name in Iraq. It was like Smith.
Shakir.
And, you know, they released it. There was no Iraqi officer link in the al-Qaeda meeting. There's none. They don't have nothing.
Because John Layman in this case was trying to pull your lying vice president's fat out of the fire here. That's what he was trying to do. He's trying to say, okay, Cheney has this intelligence. He won't say what it is. So I'll bring up something, and maybe that'll be enough to satisfy the American public that he's not actually lying through his teeth. But the fact of the matter is, Cheney is not going to come up with any intelligence on it. Let me not guarantee it. I just believe with every fiber of my being that Dick Cheney will never release any intelligence to the American people that shows an actual link between Saddam and Al-Qaeda? Because I don't think he has it.
And Larry Johnson, our CIA guy, the CIA analyst and former deputy director of State's counterterrorism office, said he is lying. And we're going to be, you know, play a soundbite of that afterwards. And we want to take your calls now. Ready to talk. 866-303-2270, 866-303-AARO. We're blogging at morningsedition.com and emailing at sedition@airamericaradio.com. We'll see you in a minute.
Do you know that 7 companies decide the films you get to see? As a result, fewer and fewer truly groundbreaking films are being released. So you, as a moviegoer, have less access to anything other than the standard Hollywood fare. Hi, I'm Larry Maestrich, founder of Film Movement, and producer of films such as Sling Blade and You Can Count on Me. Film Movement is a true grassroots movement of film fans who want greater access to alternative voices in film. Each month, subscribers to Film Movement receive an award-winning independent film to own on DVD, directly from top film festivals such as Cannes and Sundance. Subscribe to Film Movement through Air America at airamericaradio.com in June and receive a free copy of The Party's Over, a critically acclaimed documentary narrated by Philip Seymour Hoffman about the state of democracy in America. Everyone deserves access to the best new releases. These films deserve to be seen. Help us support independent thinking by joining Film Movement or giving Film Movement as a gift for Father's Day or graduation. Subscribe today at airamericaradio.com.
Need cash fast? Call Fast Cash Loans by phone. You can get a paycheck cash advance up to $500 deposited straight into your checking account. Call 1-800-279-3114. Even if you have poor credit or no credit, you can get Fast Cash. Every day, Fast Cash helps thousands of Americans make ends meet. So if you need cash, don't sweat it. Call Fast Cash now at 1-800-279-3114. When you call, you can get a Fast Cash application sent to you within seconds. The money you need is deposited straight into your checking account. There's no embarrassing trip to a loan store, no more borrowing money from your family. So if you need cash fast for any purpose, call 1-800-279-3114. You can get up to $500 deposited straight into your checking account. It's quick and easy to apply. And you can have the money you need within 24 hours. So call Fast Cash now. 1-800-279-3114. That's 1-800-279-3114.
When I started this company, our mission was to be the most useful and most ethical provider in the financial services business.
Charles Schwab, founder and chairman of the Charles Schwab Corporation.
When you're dealing with people's money, when you're dealing with their financial dreams, you've got to hold it with the greatest of care.
With industry-leading equity research, trusted investment professionals, and personalized advice, Charles Schwab offers investors a better choice when it comes to low-cost investing.
It's about service, it's about best value, it's about ethics. It's all those things. That's what we're about every day.
Join the more than 3 million investors at Charles Schwab and enjoy lower trading costs plus advice and unparalleled service. Call 1-800-7-SCHWAB or stop by your local Schwab branch today.
Some benefits, including advice and certain equity research, available for a fee only through one or more Schwab Personal Choice or other fee-based services. New trading commissions effective 6/21/04. Charles Schwab & Co. Inc., member SIPC and NYSE.
Past the hour, Mark Maron and Mark Riley here on Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. We'll be taking your calls at 866-303-2270, 866-303-AAR0. Ann's been on the line for a while. We're going to get you in 1 second. I appreciate you being there.
Yeah, really.
We're talking about a lot of things. You know, terror is definitely one of them. But right now, what day is today? Wednesday. Tomorrow I go to my therapist, so you got one more day of me doing this this week. So here's my dream diary for last night. My wife's in town, so it got a little weird. So me and my wife, Mishna, are sitting in this office. The walls are covered with pictures of Jesus and crocheted plaques that say, "There's no place like home." This woman comes out who looks like Kathy Bates in Misery. "Welcome to the faith-based marriage counseling service," she says in this chirpy little voice. "President Bush just promised us $1.5 billion, and I'm here to spend it. What can I do for you?" I say, "Well, this is a delicate subject, and you need more Jesus," she cuts in. But you don't know what I'm going to say. "You need more Jesus." I say, "What does that mean? More compassion? More patience? You're supposed to not ask. It's faith-based." So I asked, did Jesus ever get married? "It's faith-based. You don't get to ask." Suddenly, I'm screaming at Kathy Bates, "Did Jesus ever get married?"
Then Jesus comes in and says, easy, cowboy, don't bite the lady's head off. And I say, sorry, Jesus, but she's not helping. All she says is that we need more you. No offense. None taken. Personally, I wouldn't take advice about marriage from an old bachelor like me. I'm always losing my keys. But Jesus, we've got some problems from time to time. Jesus smiles at me and says, look at her. You ain't got no problems. He's right. Smart guy, Jesus. So just as he turns to leave, I ask, hey, Jesus, why didn't you ever get married? He shrugged. Nobody asked, he said. Weird. I woke up and my bed was filled with Mishnah. Thank you, Jesus.
There you go.
Let's go right to these calls. Ann's been on the phone for a while. Ann, how are you?
I'm fine. My ear is falling off.
Sorry.
But anyway, make your marks, your two marks.
Okay.
I am calling about the big outrage yesterday in the Senate that voted to uphold the Pentagon policy not to show the coffins.
Not to to acknowledge that there's death happening.
Yeah. That, not to acknowledge the cost of this outrageous war, and it is outrageous. Here we have a week of funeral for one man. All right, okay, maybe he deserved it, but
maybe it's a big maybe.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but not to show the coffins and forbid. If I would have someone die, luckily I don't have anybody over there, I would make sure the newspaper has that coffin on the front page.
I think you're absolutely right, because it creates a cultural dialogue about the cost of war. And, you know, thank you for holding. And you know what? I could listen to that accent for a little while longer.
Yeah, sure. Really.
And you're right. And we've talked about this here before, is that it's another way of keeping the public, you know, sort of their awareness limited. That, you know, there is a cost of war, and there is respect due to the people that die in this war. And a military funeral, to see coffins draped in American flags, is an honor. And it's something the American people should be allowed to see and create their own opinions about what it means to them, and also grieve properly.
They're trying to sterilize this war. They're trying to make the war antiseptic, like there is no blood. Well, there are no broken bones.
Exactly. And just in the fact that, this is a president that did a tax cut. You know, after we went to war, which is unheard of, because they actually knew ahead of time that this war was unfounded, that, you know, in order to get American support with it, they'd have to lie. Those lies are breaking down. And to accommodate these lies, they said, well, look, we're going to give you some money back instead of believe that you will believe in our cause and make the sacrifice necessary.
Yeah.
And now they're trying to hide the fact that, you know, many people are dying. Bill in Long Island. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Bill.
Morning. How are you?
All right. How you doing?
I just had a quick question/comment. Unfortunately, your last guest is gone. The other day on the Al Franken show, they were talking with a reporter who was embedded with some Marines and had accidentally shot two teenagers, or a 12-year-old and a 17-year-old.
He was on our show.
Yeah, he was on with us, too.
Oh, I apologize.
That's all right.
When they did that terror report, since they were counting non-combatants, were those two kids counted? Or because they were killed by our military, were they just ignored?
I don't know, but my guess would be they probably were not counted.
No, I think that these are all, most of the numbers are civilian, and most of the numbers would be from, you know, specific terrorist attacks. And to my knowledge, these aren't Noam Chomsky's numbers, so I don't think that attacks by us are considered terrorists.
At least not by us.
Yeah, not by us. And the guest he's talking about was Evan Wright, who we talked to yesterday. He wrote the book Generation Kill about being embedded with a fairly exclusive battalion of Marines.
You know, the caller brought up the issue of terror, Mark, and the terror numbers. And we just heard that the worldwide terror number of terror incidents didn't drop to a 34-year low like we thought. It actually climbed to a 21-year high as the State Department scrambled to correct a mistaken report that made the Bush administration look good on terror. Of course, Secretary of State Colin Powell says that Deputy Secretary of State Richard Armitage was wrong in April when he said the U.S. is prevailing in that terror war. But even with that, CIA analyst Larry Johnson, who we spoke to not that long ago, says that even these numbers...
Half hour ago.
Yep. These numbers need some fixing.
The problem is that even the revision is still incorrect.
What do you mean?
Whoa! Wait a minute.
Yeah.
The revision that they put out yesterday is wrong?
Yes. If you go in and look at the narrative, and the text of the report that deals with Russia records 13 attacks that killed 244 people and injured, I think it's 692. I've forgotten, you know, last time I counted it.
Uh-huh.
They don't include a single one of those incidents in the significant incidents section.
So the numbers are still not right, and they're still lower than what is reality.
Correct.
Wow. He was amazing to talk to, and that's some important stuff. He also said that Cheney is definitely a liar. Fred in Georgia, how are you, Fred?
Hey, Fred.
Yeah, good day. How are you?
All right, how you doing?
Good day. Was that a Georgian accent?
No, man, I'm from Australia.
Right on.
I'm in the heart of darkness here.
Uh-oh.
Anyway, the thing I wanted to mention was there's an article that relates to the Australian American Alliance in the current Economist, the current issue of the Economist.
Uh-huh.
And it just demonstrates how badly these people have bungled international relations throughout the world, even with America's strongest allies. Now, I'm very pro-America. I love this country. I married an American. I think Americans are great people. But unfortunately, this current administration has really angered a lot of Australians. And our Prime Minister, Johnny Howard, who is a conservative politically, even though he represents the Liberal Party in Australia, came to this country a few weeks ago and was visiting the White House. And we have troops in Iraq. We're one of America's allies. And the president didn't like the fact that the opposition leader in Australia, Mark Latham, said that if he was elected, and there will be an election shortly in Australia, that he would pull those troops out of Iraq as soon as possible. And the president made the comment that it would be a terrible mistake if Australians elected Mark Latham. Well, can you imagine what would anger a democracy or people in another country more than to have an American tell them how to vote?
Wow.
That's deep. That's really, really deep. So
yeah.
Bush now is trying to inject himself in the Australian election.
And Australia, they want to be part aligned with, generally with America. I've been to Australia and I've talked to Australians before.
Sure.
I talked to a guy recently on an airplane from Australia. He said basically the same thing that this fellow was saying, who's down in Georgia. And, and of course the president will spin this as, well, if Australia pulls out, then the terrorists are winning. And clearly, what's happening is internationally, it's not about terrorism. It's about an American president being so arrogant and taking a unilateral stance that is backfiring, and the international community it no longer trusts his judgment.
And, there's another side to this. I don't know how many troops, and we'll find out how many troops from Australia are actually inside of Iraq, but their role is starting to change as more and more troops are leaving the country. Remember, the Hondurans left. There are a bunch of different people that left. The Poles may leave. And you may end up in a situation where the U.S. is now trying to prevail on the Australians. They already tried to prevail on the British to move their troops closer to harm's way, move from south to north. What's going to happen if the United States starts trying to bully the Australians into changing their kind of combat stance in all of this and to take a larger role?
I'll tell you what will happen. Good day, mate.
That's right.
See you later.
Absolutely.
Got one more quick call here. Barry, quickly, how are you?
Hey, Barry.
Hey, guys. Man, you guys are just awesome, I got to say.
Okay.
I'm so happy to hear you on the air. Mark and Mark, you guys have really hit your stride lately. You've been very funny.
Thanks.
And I just got to say hi to Wayne Gelman.
All right. Wayne Gelman gets a shout-out.
Nobody says hi to Wayne. I love that guy.
He's got to do the news in 20 seconds. So you got anything you want to leave us with?
Well, I just wanted to talk about those numbers. So the total number seems to be around 869 total casualties from terrorism.
We'll get back into it. We got to go, Barry. We got to do the news, and we'll cover the numbers again later.
Absolutely. We're coming back with more. A certain former president goes toe-to-toe with a reporter. Guess who won? Plus, the countdown to democracy when we continue here on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Dr. Gary Gordon, Chief Medical Director at the world-renowned Gordon Research Institute, describes exciting new research guaranteed to solve your hair problem.
New data released by the FDA indicates that the body chemical dehydrotestosterone, commonly known as DHT, is the leading cause of hair loss. At our institute, we studied numerous hair loss treatments and found that Folinex is the most effective solution for stimulating new hair growth in balding areas. If you want to stop DHT from causing any further hair loss, then I strongly recommend that you try Folinex now. Folinex's DHT blocker has been used successfully for over 8 years by tens of thousands of men and women. Folinex is powerful enough to regrow hair on virtually anyone, we guarantee it.
Folinex is available for a limited time at half the price of other competitors. Folinex is guaranteed to work for you. So order risk-free now by calling 800-256-8214. That's 800-256-8214. Call 800-256-8214.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman, a former State Department official who was a guest in the past hour on Air America, disclosed that even the latest figures released by the Department on the victims of terror are incorrect. Larry Johnson says, once you do the math, there were more victims, raising speculation on just how the State Department and State Secretary Colin Powell have compiled their information. Documents released by the White House late yesterday have revealed that the president claimed the right to waive anti-torture laws and treaties covering the war after the invasion in Iraq. The White House released the documents to blunt criticism that it condoned torture and had nothing to hide. Deputy Defense Secretary Paul Wolfowitz says U.S. could be in Iraq militarily for a long, long time. And there's word that rocker Bruce Springsteen may be enlisted to upstage President Bush at the upcoming GOP convention on the very day of his coronation to run for a second term. Those interested are urged to check out Springsteen's website, www.draftbruce.com.
I'll just see who that is then.
Oh no! South American killer bees! They're going for my eyes!
A swarm of killer bees. That's one thing you don't want in your house. One thing you do want in your house is a better looking roof with Plitanium plywood from Georgia Pacific. Other roof sheathing materials can swell at the edges, creating an unsightly checkerboard pattern under your shingles. Plitanium roofs provide a more uniform surface. Plitanium plywood. Build it better.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the Verbal Advantage they need for success.
To learn more about Verbal Advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
Hi, this is Al Frank, and you know, these days it's pretty easy to think outside of the box. It seems like everywhere you look or listen, someone is expressing an opinion that contradicts the conventional wisdom. But there is a downside. We've lost the view from inside the box. Anyway, on my show, The Al Franken Family, what we've done is build an entirely new box. That's where we're coming from. From inside a completely new box.
Al Franken on Air America Radio.
Three past the hour. Good morning. It's Morning's Edition with Mark Maron and Mark Riley on Air America Radio.
Hey!
Hey, Jerry in New Jersey, you just called before the break. The
Barry!
Was it Barry?
Barry? I think it was Barry.
Barry, I should remember. That's my dad's name. I just wanted to shout out there that the original report that came out, the wrong report, said there were 307 people killed in terrorist attacks last year. The revised version increased that number to 625 killed, and according to our CIA friend, Robert... what happened? What did I just do with his name?
Who? Larry Johnson?
Larry Johnson.
Yeah.
Larry Johnson, he said that that number is even wrong. All right. And the new report states that there were 175 significant events of terror last year, the highest number since 1982. So there's your answer with those numbers. And we've also now, like President Clinton, back everywhere. I saw an advertisement for his book in my shower. everywhere. There's Clinton. I'm like, when did they put this up? I guess they changed it from the movie. All right. Anyways, they keep taking shots at this guy. You know, this guy, I mean, you know, whatever he is, megalomaniacal, egocentric, you know, maybe hyper-eloquent or whatever, is that, you know, they cannot get off of this sex thing. You know what I mean? Let the guy try and establish his rightful legacy as a politician. That's what I think.
Well, you know, Bill Clinton has shown two or three times that I remember over his, certainly during his presidential, just pre-presidential career, that famous temper of his. I don't know how many people may remember back to when candidate Bill Clinton thought Jesse Jackson had endorsed another candidate in the presidential race, and he was on camera, but he didn't realize he was on camera. He was getting ready to do a television interview, and he went berserk.
Yeah.
Okay? He has a temper. Apparently, the temper doesn't last that long.
Right.
But when you get him past a certain point, look the heck out. And that's apparently what happened when a gentleman named David Dimbleby.
Wait, David Dingleberry?
See, I knew you were going to go there. Yes, David Dingleberry. From Panorama, which I always thought was a steel band competition in Trinidad, but they apparently have a show in Britain also called Panorama. And he is the presenter, which is how they describe the people that anchor these programs.
Uh-huh.
And he kept pressing him about the Monica Lewinsky thing, you know, because that's what reporters do sometimes. They want to get the salacious, juicy, ugly details. Well, Bill Clinton wasn't having it, and this is their exchange.
One of the reasons he got away with it is because people like you only ask people like me the questions. You gave him a complete free ride. Any abuse they want to do, they indicted all these little people from Arkansas. What did you care about them? They're not famous. Who cares if their lives are trampled? Who cares if their children are humiliated? Who cares if Starr sends FBI agents to their school and rip them out of their school to humiliate them, try to force their parents to lie about me? Who cares if he sends a woman like Susan McDougal into a Hannibal Lecter-like cell and makes her wear a uniform worn only by murderers and child molesters? Nobody in your line of work cared a rip about that at the time. Why? Because he was helping their story. And that's the difference in me and the people that were after me. I actually cared about what happened to those people. And I wanted to be president to help those people. And that's what the fight was about. Now, that doesn't justify any mistake I made. But look how much time you spent asking me these questions in this time you've had. That's because that's what you care about, because that's what you think helps you and helps this interview. I care about what happened to the people that I fought for. And that's why people like you always help the far right, because you like to hurt people and you like to talk about how bad people are and all their personal failings. And that's why you look, just you made the decision to allocate your time in a certain way. You should take responsibility for that. You should say, yes, I care much more about this than whether the Bosnian people were saved and whether he brought a million people home from Kosovo, than whether 27 million people had jobs at the end, and whether we moved 100 times as many people out of poverty as Reagan and Bush.
Did you hear him, man? Did you hear that moment where he was, like, seething a little bit, and you could feel him penetrating into your brain?
Yeah.
Like, you know, people like you, you should take, you should own it. You know, like, there was that moment where you're like, ow, it's hitting the back of my brain. You know, where you're like, you know, he was so angry and so focused. And I think, you know, I think absolutely right. This guy was, you know, run out of town. He was, you know, he was crucified by these people. They had nothing on him. They just spoiled his reputation over a sexual transgression.
Many of the people that went after him engaged in similar sexual transgression.
But that people can't let it go, even internationally. Like that's all they want to talk about is his, you know, his indiscretion with this Jap from New Jersey or wherever the hell she was from. I mean, I don't even know what.
I think she was from California. She was living in California anyway.
It's just to me it was like, and I don't want to say bad things about the victim. I'm sorry, you know, Monica, but you know. The thing is like to hang on to it at this point and deny this guy, you know, a little airtime to at least defend his legacy and present it how it's supposed to be. They make me sick. They're despicable. We'll be back in a second. We'll talk more about it. Okay? So, and also we got a lot of comedy coming up. We've got you. We're going to take calls now? No calls?
Calls!
Yeah,
calls
if you want. 866-303-2270. How do you feel about this Clinton re-skewering? Air America Radio.
Mom, Mom, can you take me to Supercuts?
Excuse me? Since when do you care what you look like?
Seriously, Mom, I need a haircut.
Is it a girl? Oh, my Lord, you're already into girls. My little boy's growing up. Oh, soon you'll be in college.
Mom, I'm 7.
And then you'll marry this girl, who we haven't even met yet, and be a big corporate executive. Oh, you look so good in a suit.
Are you going to take me to Supercuts, or should I call a cab?
And you'll be bringing the grandkids on the
way. Let's face it, your kids are growing up whether you like it or not. That's why Supercuts promises to give them a look you'll both love, usually quicker than it takes to get them to brush their teeth.
Dad, can you take me to Supercuts?
Supercuts? Jeez, where has the time gone? I mean, you were just a little baby, and now you're in school, growing hair.
Supercuts. We know how it is.
With over 1,700 locations, it's never been more convenient to let Supercuts take care of you and your hair. Call 1-800-SUPERCUTS or log on to supercuts.com for a location nearest you. And while you're there, check out the latest episode of The Mop Squad.
Gary Boland, COVID technician on reality television.
Oh, you mean the news?
On global warming.
I love summer.
And on business broadband.
I'm glad you asked. You know, the key to choosing broadband is the same as any business decision. It's value. At COVID, you get broadband built for business for less than the local phone company's repackaged residential plans. In fact, your business could save hundreds of dollars a year with COVID. Plus, with the security of SDSL dedicated lines and 99.9% uptime guaranteed, you can relax, knowing your business isn't going to hit a brick wall. Now, I could go on.
Gary Boland on astrology.
Well, I've always wanted to go to space.
Business broadband. COVID knows it like nobody else. To get broadband built for business, call 1-800-555-0454. Plus, get a free router after mail-in rebate through June 30th, 2004 when your business signs up at 1-800-555-0454 or gocovid.com. See website for guaranteed details and availability. Saving based on published rates, March 10, 2004.
Having trouble sleeping? Then listen to the experts. Over 25,000 doctors, chiropractors, and sleep clinics worldwide recommend the biggest breakthrough in better sleep, the Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress. Call now for your free mattress sample at 1-800-611-9977. The Tempur-Pedic mattress works like no conventional mattress can. Its high-tech material contours to your body, relieving the pressure points that make you toss and turn. It erases aches and pains, even for people with back troubles. In fact, 92% of owners surveyed say their Tempur-Pedic bed is far superior to their old innerspring mattress, air, or water bed. Judge for yourself. Call 1-800-611-9977 for a free sample of the Tempur-Pedic mattress material. You'll also get a free Better Sleep video and a 90-day trial offer guarantee. Want to sleep better? Listen to the experts and call Tempur-Pedic now. 1-800-611-9977. That's 1-800-611-9977.
Past the hour. Good morning. It's Morning's Edition. Air America Radio. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hey.
We're taking your calls at 866-303-2270. Give us a buzz. We're talking about Clinton's legacy and the media's continuing to skewer them. I've got some, here we go. Here's our countdown to democracy. As the deadline for handover power to the Iraqis approaches, we'd like to explore various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. Today's issue is interpreting the law. All right. Well, that is one way, I guess. Leaders of Iraq, very soon you're going to have a constitution and laws that govern your brand new democracy. And while they're called laws, that doesn't mean you can't bend them to suit your needs. In fact, you'll want to do it all the time. For instance, if the law forbids torturing prisoners, call them detainees, and voila, problem solved. Or if your candidate loses the popular election, just throw it to the courts. They'll bend that law like a balloon animal. Yes, yes, that is something to get excited about. That's why the U.S. can give you legal custody of Saddam without you actually taking physical custody. All right. I know you may call it ridiculous. We call it a perfectly legitimate interpretation of the law. Think of laws as an ideal, not as something to be blindly obeyed. In America, there's a law, and then there's a law law. Ordinary people obey the law. Leaders obey law law, which everyone knows can and will be changed. Knowing the difference is what makes a democracy great. Yes, yes. Good luck, and God bless. This is day 7 in our countdown to democracy. Live free or die.
A week left.
Okay, here we go. Ken in Massachusetts, how are you?
Hey, Ken.
Hey, good. How are you?
What's up, buddy?
Well, I first off, I wanted to tell you that clip that you played of Bill Clinton, I was cheering as I was going down the interstate.
Oh, good.
Go get him, Bill.
Yeah, really, man. Really. Didn't it sound great? He's all filled with venom.
Yeah, but you said something, or somebody there said something to enjoy your program.
Yeah.
You said something that maybe I misunderstood you, but somebody called Monica Lewinsky a victim. I beg to differ with that. If that's what somebody said, I think she was a willing participant, not a victim.
Yeah, I mean, obviously she was a willing participant and certainly charmed by the power of the president and the man. But I think when the media came right down to it, it seemed like she was sort of shredded and ripped apart and made to look like a real putz. And, you know, whether she is or not, I don't know, but I meant that in terms of in the media's representation of her.
Yeah, and who was that god-awful woman? Linda Tripp.
What a nightmare. That
Whoa.
Woman, she was so evil, she had to change her face so people wouldn't recognize her afterwards.
Yeah, right.
What do we got here? We got Jared in Chicago. How are you?
What's up, Jared?
Good. I miss you guys so much. My ride to work is so much less interesting.
We're trying to get back there. You know, I miss being there.
Really?
I just wanted to make a suggestion about the whole myth about the separation of church and state and the Republican Party in Texas. I think you should change the strategy and start encouraging them to do stuff like, hey, you know what, let's make the Ten Commandments law, and from now on, if you work on Sunday, it's punishable by death.
Yeah. Wow. You know what, dude? You know, as funny as that may seem, you know, it's, you know, if you talk about what religious extremism is capable of in terms of, you know, creating laws and creating oppressive regimes, it's not so far-fetched. And we would think that, you know, it couldn't happen here. But you know what? A lot of intellectuals and Jews and regular Germans thought that the Nazis were just, you know, like the Boy Scouts. Hey, Rob, how are you? What's going on?
Hey, Rob.
What's happening?
You guys are so far off, it's not even funny. His legacy is sex. You guys don't get it. He can't build a legacy. His legacy is what he did.
Clinton, created 7 million new jobs in the first 34 months of his administration.
God.
He passed the largest deficit-cutting plan in history, saving more than $1 trillion over 7 years. $1 trillion. This guy's breaking the country. He cut federal spending from $255 billion over 5 years. Lowest combined rate of unemployment inflation since 1968. He balanced the budget, for God's sake. I mean, come on. Where are you at?
Yeah, what are you, nuts?
No, I'm not nuts. What he did was he got the.
I know Ronald Reagan did it all, right?
Well, but Reagan and Bush.
Reagan and Bush did all of that.
What they did?
Reagan and Bush created 20 million jobs after Bush left. Is that what you're saying?
What I'm saying is that what this Bush has done. If he's cut the taxes, and we're starting to see the effects of that now.
Wait a minute.
No. Give me a chance.
Okay,
go ahead.
He's turned around, and he's cut the taxes, and we're starting to see the effects of that now. And what's going to end up happening is that in another year or so, you're going to see it even more and more. So, and God help us if Kerry gets in there.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Alan Greenspan. I didn't know you could see into the economic future there. Now, you still haven't addressed, I don't think, exactly, how you debunk the facts that Mark just said about Bill Clinton's presidency. You want to say that his legacy is sex. What about all the things? Yeah, but what about all the things he just said?
And also, the fact is that state and local, you know, governments will have to compensate for these big tax cuts that he's making now. I mean, I don't think that your idea of how this is all going to trickle down is really, you know, based in any sort of wisdom. I mean, the Reagan, you know, tax cuts, you know, they almost bankrupted the country.
Hey, Rob, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Now, you're a law and order guy, right?
Yeah.
You are. Okay. Bill Clinton created a fund to hire 100,000 cops across the country during his presidency, all right?
Yeah.
Now, George W. Bush cut the money for that program.
No.
Yeah.
No.
You could look it up, like Casey Stengel said. Look it up, pal.
Check it out for yourself. Check your memory.
No. Check the facts, not my memory, the facts.
Now, see,
how many cops? Oh, all right, if he didn't, cut that program, how many cops has Bush put on the street, pal?
Can I talk?
Yeah.
Okay. When Clinton did that, what he did was he gave a balloon payment, and then every year it went down and down and down to the point where it was nothing. And like the city that I live in, now what they're faced with is that we have cops that are working inside because they don't want to get rid of the cops. They have to get rid of the civilians. So we have cops that are working inside the building.
Rob, you haven't answered. You have not answered my question. How many new cops has George W. Bush funded during this presidency? Our survey said none.
Zero.
All right. Random story. End of story.
Ralph, we got to go to a break. Thanks for your call, man. It was fun. That was very exciting. Very exciting.
You know, I'm going to go to sleep now.
I think he might have been a rush bot. We'll be back with a lot of stuff. A new comedy segment, the Liberal Agenda, more fun, interviews, excitement on Morning Sedition here on Air America Radio.
The Graham Norton Effect premieres tomorrow night at 10, 9 Central on Comedy Central.
Graham Norton here. So, what do you want from a show?
I want a show that's not afraid of sex.
Good. Weird stuff on stage.
Right.
With plenty of celebrities.
Great.
A show that loves animals as much as I do.
Sex on stage with celebrities and animals. Absolutely.
The Graham Norton Effect. Peep show. Sideshow.
Talk show.
Premieres tomorrow night at 10, 9 Central. Only on Comedy Central.
At Patagonia, we love the wilder places beyond the end of the road. And we support around-the-world grassroots activists who fight hard to save a local patch of land or a stretch of river or shoreline. Patagonia gives 1% of annual sales to small environmental groups. And we make exceptional outdoor clothes. So visit one of our stores in Manhattan, Honolulu, Portland, Freeport, or Santa Cruz. If there isn't a store in your area, click on to Patagonia.com for more information. That's Patagonia.com.
Smart business people know the difference between success and failure lies in the ability to grow. Being limited by your current facility adds up to lost productivity, and even worse, lost revenue. You've looked at the price to build and keep putting it off, but have you considered the cost of not building? Now is the time to build that warehouse, manufacturing, or retail space you need with the General Steel Corporation. The General will show you how to save time and money with a steel building engineered for your area and to meet your needs. This is no metal box. General Steel will show you how to add the look of stucco, rock, or brick to make that building attractive, yet low maintenance and energy efficient. Call toll-free 1-800-70-STEEL. If you need warehouse, manufacturing, or retail space, you need the General. If your church or school needs to expand quickly and save money, you need the General. Whether you need a 60 by 120 for under $55,000 or a 100 by 150 for under $120,000, call the General now for free information. Grab a pen and write down this number, 1-800-70-STEEL. That's 1-800-70-STEEL.
If you want to do more with your home improvement project and with your budget, you can. The Home Depot can show you how. If you want to know more and know you're getting the lowest price every day, you can. Others try to get by on just a promise, but the Home Depot comes through time after time. It's how we were built, with a solid history and pure passion for bringing you the lowest possible prices on everything from washers and bolts to washers and dryers. When you buy as much as we do, you can afford to sell for less. That's the power of buying power. Simple stuff, just like our 10% price guarantee. If you ever find a lower price somewhere else, the Home Depot will beat it by 10%. Plus, if you want to get special finance offers that let you buy now and pay later, you can. Just ask an associate for details. If you want to pull it all together and know you're making your dollars and your dreams go farther, you can. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
We're back. It's Morning Sedition. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley on Air America Radio.
Hey.
We got some more calls to take. We've also got a blog going at morningsedition.com. You can email us at sedition@airamericaradio.com. But right now, every Wednesday, we're going to bring you the latest news from the front lines of the three-year global war being waged by the Bush administration. Today, we bring you our very first dispatch from the War on Brains. Here now, war correspondent Morton Milton. Morton.
Dateline, Denver, June 23rd.
The latest chapter in the war on brains. Found a new rebel commander in fight against dictator of dumb George W. Bush and his evil action yeah. of faith-based reality. Military veteran, Yale grad, avatar of intellect, John Kerry. Joined by a ragtag outfit called the UCS, or the Union of Concerned Scientists, this Ivy League Avenger opened fire with a press release. Item, the White House distorts scientific findings and ignores what military observers call frontline actuality contingency tactics, or facts. Axis victories include the annihilation of condoms from government websites and the 2003 purge of global warming information deep inside the borders of an EPA report. Shameful, ignominious, false. After taking heavy casualties in the ongoing stem cell siege, several defectors have joined the rebels in the war on brains, sending waves of fear to the heart of the enemy. Still, a military attaché reports that the commander-in-chief's defenses are almost impenetrable when confronted with information that isn't carved in stone, slithered from a mountaintop and carried through the desert for 40 years. The struggle continues. Freedom fighters, read, write, resist! And that's today's dispatch from the War on Brains.
Thank you, Morton Milton, our correspondent in the War on Brains. We're going to Ralph in Staten Island. Ralph, how are you? Good morning.
Hey, Ralph.
Yeah?
Wait a minute. There, no. Ralph, no. Ralphie boy. No. How about Jay from Georgia? Is Ralphie there?
How are you?
Who's that, Jay?
No, that's Ralph. Ralph? Ralph?
Hello? Wow, dead air. Great.
No, that's not Ralph.
Who's there? Anybody?
Jay.
Hey, Jay, what's going on?
What's happening? What's up, y'all?
I'm okay.
All right, man, how you doing?
We had a little weird thing there with the phones for a second.
Yeah, right. Pretty good, man. Just kind of, you know, taping Washington Journal and definitely taping you guys as well. So.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, I really love your show.
Thanks, man.
You guys rule. Marin, you're a genius.
Oh, thanks.
Definitely an idol.
Oh, thanks, man.
But, yeah, you know, this whole bashing Clinton, man, I tell you, you know, after the conclusion of the 9/11 Commission last week, I mean, you know, clearly it's going to be a whitewash. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Bush, naturally, free pass, liberal media, don't think so. I mean, you know, look at him. It's tabloid media. And also on, you know, Democracy Now! Yesterday, Amy Goodman dedicated everything to her Clinton interview from 4 years back, showing that, indeed, you know, he had the temper way back when, which makes, you know, the Newsnight thing look...
yeah, like a little tame.
Quite
right?
Tame.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, I ultimately am a Clinton supporter, don't agree with all his policies, but, you know...
But he deserves, you know, a little respect. I mean, like what you're saying...
Absolutely.
Yeah, what you were saying was true, that, you know, there's, in the myth of the liberal media, it's certainly, you know, that's such a ridiculous lie. That whole thing is, it's just, all you got to do is turn on the TV and realize that if it's not conservative, it's just, at the very least, about money.
You know
what I mean? And about, you know, and
money and liberal don't go together anyway.
Some people.
Liberals are all broke.
Frank is doing all right. We got
a
quick one from Seema here in Westchester. Seema?
Hi, Seema.
Hi, good morning. I love your show, guys.
Thank you.
My day every day.
Thank you.
Really. I just want to let you know about these guys, you know, the media, everything about Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
They really get their proof from God, I think.
They get their truth from God?
Yes, because it looks like it's faith-based. It's not based on any proof.
Oh, yeah, you sort of, yeah.
There is no data. There is no statistics behind it. They just sleep at night. In the morning, they get up, and that's what they think.
Oh.
It's faith-based, and they don't want to change it.
That's right. Thank you very much for your call, Steve. This is basically talking what we were talking about, which is that they moralize without facts. And they judge without facts, and they assume a higher ground because they're frightened, narrow-minded people.
That's public higher ground. You should see what they do in private. In the next hour of Morning's Edition, terror figures and torture memos. Will the insanity ever stop? Plus, Recovery Corner and a comic direct from Guantanamo Bay. Hey, you figure it out. This is Air America Radio.
How's it going?
Yeah, you. You know, I've been watching you, and it doesn't look like you're having a lot of fun behind the wheel. And being the all-new Ford Focus ST, I got the solution. Me. I want you to listen to this. Hear that? That's a new engine that makes me the most powerful Focus out there. With over 150 horses at my command, I'm the most powerful Focus available. And if you're a fan of the curves, you're going to love the way I handle.
New styling inside and out and a confidence-inspiring performance-tuned suspension. The all-new Ford Focus ST. It begs to be driven.
Hey, it's summertime, all right. And all that summer sun and heat you're taking in right now can really dry out your lips. So here's a little tip to help keep lips moisturized and protected. ChapStick Lip Moisturizer. That's right. ChapStick Lip Moisturizer's got SPF 15 and 10 moisturizers, like aloe and vitamin E, to moisturize summer-dried lips and help keep them feeling great. Because summertime is ChapStick time, too. Use as directed.
You're listening to 1190 WLIV New York, the flagship station of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Former State Department officials making headlines this morning on Air America. Larry Johnson, a guest in the morning's edition, took exception with the latest revised State Department report on victims of terror. The department released the new figures yesterday showing that double the number of victims fell prey to terrorism than what was first reported back in April. Johnson says, do the math, there's even more. What's more, Johnson says Iraq really was not a hotbed for terrorism until the U.S. incursion in 2003.
Before we invaded, Iraq was not a hotbed for terror. In fact, from 1992 to 2002, out of the almost 4,500 international acts of terrorism, Iraq was only implicated in 83 of them, and none of those were mass casualty.
Wait, but so, I mean, does that mean Dick Cheney is lying?
Yes.
And former State Department official Larry Johnson says he's a diehard Republican and cannot fathom how Bush and Vice President Dick Cheney operate. In fact, Johnson had his own description for them. Just listen.
And you got to understand, I'm a registered Republican and
right.
voted for the chucklehead. And I'm sitting here watching this fantasy and recreation of reality, and I don't know what to do. I'm beside myself.
Former State Department official Larry Johnson, as he appeared on Air America's Morning's Edition this morning with Mark Maron and Mark Riley. Republicans may be in for a surprise when they come to New York for their national convention later this summer. Concert promoter feeling the burgeoning dissatisfaction with the current administration is trying to recruit rocker Bruce Springsteen to stage a concert on the very day Bush will be reaffirmed as the party's standard bearer for a second term. Promoter wants to upstage the Bush coronation with an event of his own, featuring Springsteen in concert in a nearby venue. For information, check out the website www.draftbruce.com. No response yet from the Republican Party. White House has attempted to block further speculation that the administration authorized torture as an interrogation technique, so it released yesterday a thick file of papers documenting its internal deliberations on rules for interrogating prisoners in facilities from Abu Ghraib in Iraq to Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. President yesterday told reporters at the White House that we don't condone torture. Bush said we never ordered torture. The values of this country are such that torture is not a part of our soul and our being. President also promised an open and fair trial for those accused of breaking U.S. military law. And the United States Army made clear yesterday that its precision strike on Safe House used by militants linked to the al-Qaeda and terrorist network of Abu Musab al-Zarqawi was aimed at destroying the building and terrorists in the Iraqi city of Fallujah. Brigadier General Mark Kimmett, the Deputy Director of Operations for the U.S. military in Iraq, said in a statement that the strike was based on multiple...
Charts and graphs, love making charts and graphs.
No afternoon slump here.
Pie charts, flow charts, bar graphs, too. Hey, it's only 5 after 2.
Huh, that rhymes. Thanks to the doldrum fighting Harvest Bar. Real fruit and healthy energy from whole grains, fiber, protein, and vitamins. In 10 tempting flavors like rich toffee chocolate chip and pleasing strawberry.
Cover sheet. Turn it upside down. Dial the number. Press send. Facts.
Harvest Bar from Power Bar. Skip the slump. Be great.
Claims come.
Helps your car warm up faster.
Is even better than before.
Now with Mylotron.
And claims go.
More powerful.
Faster.
It's carburetor friendly.
But quality is still quality. And that's why year after year, Amoco gasolines at BP are rated number one in quality in nationwide surveys by drivers like you. Drivers also buy more Amoco Ultimate than any other premium fuel. In fact, it's the best-selling premium gasoline in America. That's not a claim. It's a fact. Amoco Ultimate cleans up and keeps clean vital parts in your car's engine that affect performance. That's why continued use of Ultimate can give you smooth acceleration, less hesitation, and good fuel economy. Continued use also provides less harmful emissions that help keep the air cleaner. So are you going to believe what you hear?
Makes your engine purr like a puma.
Or are you going to believe what drivers like you keep experiencing? More performance and less pollution with Amoco Ultimate at BP.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy Rewards Program subject to eligibility.
Listen to Air America Radio whenever and wherever you want. We're available 24/7 on the internet. Just hit our website, www.airamericaradio.com. All you need to do is complete a quick online registration. Once that's done, you're ready to take us live. Air America uses the Real One Player for our streaming. www.airamericaradio.com. Streaming now, live, 24/7. www.airamericaradio.com.
Hey, I'm Mark Maron with Stu Ellicott and Mark Riley here on Air America Radio. It's 6 minutes past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning. Today, Wednesday, how a Jewish liberal stand-up comedian found himself as a military public affairs officer at Guantanamo Bay. What? We'll ask him. Plus, we'll offer President Bush a stiff drink of sobriety. That's today's Recovery Corner. I am here with Mark Riley. I am Mark Maron. Sue Ellicott is off this week, so it's just the two of us.
Good morning.
Good morning. I want to reach out to the people that came down to Caroline's Comedy Club last night for Comics for Carrie. We had a good time. A woman came up to me, introduced herself, and said she listens to us every day, and she felt like, you know, that moment you have with somebody who knows you better than you realize they know you, because we're in here talking, but there are people out there that are like, oh, there's Mark. I know everything about him. Like, because I don't hide anything here. I really don't. I mean, I could even tell you more than I probably already have, and I will. All right. So stay tuned for more of me. But who else? Belzer was there. Richard Belzer, one of my heroes.
Judy Gold, who was here.
Judy Gold was
who
hilarious.
Intimidated everybody in the room when she was here.
The funny thing about Judy is that it was a good sized crowd, but it was 7 o'clock. They weren't quite juiced up. You had a couple comments to get on. Gaffigan went on first, and he was here, but they weren't crossing over the top. They weren't really peeking out. And Judy just got up there and smacked him like, "What? Uh-oh. What's going on in here?" You know, like they were just yelling and just sort of like, "Come on, get with it." And then they kind of perked up a little bit, and then I went on, but. No, I had a great time, man. You know, I hadn't done stand-up in a couple weeks, you know, because I don't know if you realize this, but I have to get up early to come in here, so I can't, you know, stay up too late. Like, I'm on like a 10-year-old's hours.
You know what I mean? Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Not complaining. No, to do what you did yesterday, to do the Sprint commercial, then to do Colin Quinn, Tough Crowd, then to do Comics for Carrie.
Yeah.
That takes a lot.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what time you get up in the morning.
See, you spilled it. See, there's some people might not know. I had to confess earlier.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
To being part of a Sprint commercial. Because I know that some people within the liberal world or the margins of the fanatic left would see that as some sort of heinous transgression.
Sell out!
Yeah, to support a corporate faction
entity
to make a living in show business. Now, first of all, I'm under the belief that, you know, the great philosophical question used to be, what is the meaning of life? And now I think the great philosophical question is, how am I being used, and am I okay with that? Now, the thing is, I don't do commercials. I never did commercials. I never went out for them. I thought they were ridiculous. I mean, I couldn't read for them, and I still don't. I was performing in Austin, Texas. I was on stage one night. Two women looked like they were from Hollywood in the room. It was there was only 12 people there. I'm a huge draw in Austin. All right, so that was on the weeknight.
Yeah, right? I know they were polishing the horns on their foot ornaments.
I had a bad day. There's some other things that happened. I had to throw some people out. But anyway, so these two women look like they're from Hollywood. Come up to me after the show. Turns out it's Barbara Kopel, I believe is her name. She's the director of Wild Man Blues, Oscar-winning film documentary director. And she's direct. She says to me, we're doing a spring commercial. We saw your name in the paper. We think, you're really funny. Be perfect for this. And I'm like, yeah, I don't do commercials. They didn't say spring. We're doing a commercial. They said, I don't really do commercials, because I don't want to advertise something that I don't believe in, and I don't want to be part of that. And she goes, it's for Sprint. So then there's that moment where I'm thinking, okay, there's commercials, there's money coming in. Sprint, you know, I use Sprint. I've used them for years. Me and Sprint are friends. Sprint is my pal. So I say, you know what? I use Sprint. I think I can do this. My moral value system will allow me to try this. So I did it, and it's very short. It takes place. I can't go into it too in-depth because they'll shoot me. You have to sign a contract with these people that you don't reveal anything about the commercial.
Privacy issues.
They'll have to kill you, sort of like the military. But the weird thing is about me, and I try to keep this in check because in my life I found myself – developing loyalties to corporate entities. In my one-man show and in my book, Jerusalem Syndrome, which you can get on Amazon.com, like a nickel. They got a lot of leftovers. I'm just waiting for the phone call from the publisher that says, look, we've got 10,000 Jerusalem Syndromes left. We're about to throw them in the shredder. Do you need any? So you can get my book for maybe a nickel to 50 cents on Amazon.com. Now, this isn't a self-esteem issue. I'm not being a self-hating person. I'm just speaking truth. But in my book, I talk a lot about corporations and how people develop loyalties to them and how, they in some respects replace spiritual entities for people, because there are moments in my life where, I don't want to break up with Sprint because I'm afraid if I call and my wife says, why don't we change it over to T-Mobile? We can talk to each other free because we have the same system. I'm like, but Sprint would be upset. You know what I mean? And I'd hate to compromise. I don't want to upset them. But the weird thing is I think we all do that. That's why corporations stay in business. That's why products stay in business, is because you grow to believe in them, and it's ridiculous on some level, but another level it's just the way life is.
I got a question.
Yeah.
Do you have a loyalty, because I know that you're a fanatic for ice cream, do you have a loyalty to a specific ice cream?
Well, there's two. I'm really pretty. It's either Haagen-Dazs or Ben & Jerry's. Ben & Jerry's, if necessary. Ben & Jerry's, I used to be really into the Cherry Garcia, very important. Chunky Monkey's very important to me. New York Double Fudge Chunk, extremely important, but I got to be really sad. mint cookies, awesome. Though, they tease you with that, because with the mint cookie, you're like, man, this is the best thing I've ever done ever in my life. And you're digging, and it's like, oh, my God, there's like a whole cookie in here. But you know what? That's going to be the only one. All right? And that's the way they fool you. Now, ultimately, the best, most ethereal, amazing experience for me is Dolce Leche Haagen-Dazs. Dude, if I didn't get fat, I would just sit and eat that all day and maybe masturbate occasionally. That would be my life. Just Dolce de Leche ice cream and occasional masturbation. But I got things to do here.
Right.
And this isn't Howard Stern. We have a mission. We're trying to get rid of this president. We're trying to get all the liberals together under the great tent and exclude religious extremists. That's the mission. So there's no time for me to just sit and get fat and eat ice cream and take advantage of myself so that, my wife's in time. You know what? It's getting too personal now.
Nah, man. I'm interested in this because, corporate patterns.
How about you?
I find myself sometimes, I don't eat cereal, but I go into the cereal aisle a lot for, stuff for my daughter. And I always have to worry about, is it General Mills or is it Post or is it Kellogg's or is it...
You worry about it?
Well, yeah.
Because of what they're affiliated with?
No, which one's on sale, actually?
Oh, okay. Because some people, I have issues with certain corporations. I will not eat at McDonald's. I will not eat at Burger King. I won't go to Blockbuster. I won't eat at Domino's. I don't get L.L. Bean. I mean, because some people are really aligned with some evil stuff.
Yeah.
And if you have information about Sprint, let me know. All right? Walmart, I don't go to. Dunkin' Donuts. If you have bad stuff to say about Dunkin' Donuts, I can't hear it. I have to be in denial about that.
Don't call here.
If you have bad information, if Haagen-Dazs is in some way evil or Ben & Jerry's, you can't take that away from me. See, I'm sorry. There are certain sacrifices I have to make to maintain my sanity.
Now, is Häagen-Dazs one of those big corporate? Have they been, sucked into that big corporate thing? Is that what? Because I know Ben and Jerry's is kind of.
What am I supposed to do? Make my own ice cream? Make my own pants? Make my own Nike shoes?
Yeah.
I don't even buy Nikes. See, that's another thing. I won't do Nikes. I will not do. I have weird principles. You know, we got to do the news after this.
Yeah.
Clearly, we've talked enough. So stay with us, and we'll get to the important stuff. All right.
Who is it?
Special delivery.
Who?
Pizza man.
Hey, you're not the pizza man. You're the cable guy again.
Price patrol.
No, you're not. I can see your van. You're the cable company. I'm not going to let you raise my rates again. I'm calling American Satellite to get a DirecTV system.
Presidential candidate.
Are you going to offer me over 125 digital quality channels for as little as $39.99 a month, including my local channels?
Ice cream man.
Yeah, like that's going to work. If I call American Satellite right now, I can get a four-room DirecTV system, including professional installation free. Can you beat that?
Pizza man.
You already tried that. Well, that's it. I'm calling to get my DirecTV system.
Call 800-264-0071. That's 800-264-0071 for new customers only. Annual programming commitment required. Ask how you can get your first 6 months for only $29.99 a month, a $60 value. Offer ends July 17th. Call now, 800-264-0071.
Are your glasses or contacts driving you nuts? Have you considered laser vision correction but just aren't sure it's right for you yet? If this sounds like you, then listen to this surprising story from the world's greatest golfer, Tiger Woods.
Hi, this is Tiger Woods. For years, I played golf with an invisible handicap. It was my contact lenses. My eyes would sting, burn, and water, all the while I was trying to concentrate on championship golf.
Then Tiger discovered what he described as a miracle from the doctors at TLC Laser Eye Centers.
I had the LASIK procedure with a TLC Laser Eye Center surgeon, and the results were fabulous.
Imagine being less dependent on glasses and contact lenses.
I'm 20/20 with no contacts. It's unbelievable not to have to deal with the hassles and frustrations of glasses or contacts.
Call 1-800-700-8550 now for all the exciting details, including a free video and complimentary evaluation. Call now to find out more today. 1-800-700-8550. That's 1-800-700-8550.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
It's morning on Wednesday. This is Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron. Mark Riley is here. Air America Radio. Someone just brought us bagels. And that's the worst thing when you got to go on the air. When you got to go on the air and I just see the bagels sitting right over there and there's like, oh, I got to do this thing. But and the bagels going, Mark, I'm good. I'm good and toasty. All right. Right now I got the president of Palm Pilot, which is downloaded from my buddy in the Oval Office. Here's the president's schedule for today, June 23rd, 7 o'clock a.m. Wake up. Stay on message. Beheadings bad. Korean beheadings slightly less bad, politically speaking. 8:35 a.m. Fly to Pennsylvania. Screw up their morning commute. 10:25 a.m. Make remarks on compassion and HIV/AIDS. Philadelphia. Praise the courage of Tom Hanks for beating AIDS in this very city. 12:45 p.m. Attend Victory 2004 fundraiser. Private residence, Villanova. Let loose with the AIDS jokes I had bottled up for 2 hours, 2 hours ago. 3:55 p.m. Return to the White House. Check bathroom for loose stem cells. 4:10 p.m. Ceremony for Presidential Medal of Freedom winners. Winners include Robert Bartley, some writer guy, some teacher guy, some explorer guy, Rita Moreno, Doris Day, Pope John Paul II, and Arnold Palmer. Opening remarks. Quote, Al-Qaeda hates our freedom, and they hate our Presidential Medal of Freedom. And that means Al-Qaeda hates Doris Day. Note, show Arnold Palmer the clip of me golfing in Fahrenheit 9/11. Note, find out why the Pope can't get off his lazy ass and accept his medal in person. Get Rumsfeld on this. 5:30 p.m. Bid goodbye to all honorees as if you were friends and had anything in common. Wait. 6 p.m. Lock self in Lincoln bedroom. Give Medal of Freedom to that guy in the mirror. Thank the president. Shed tear. 9 p.m. Lights out. Rub metal against tummy until drowsy. There you go. President's schedule for Wednesday. So now we've been, we had a guest earlier on our show today, Larry Johnson.
Yes, yes.
Who is a former CIA analyst and deputy director of the state's counterterrorism office. And he broke some news right here on our own show about this, the new State Department terror report. The corrected one. Can we hear that, Chris?
The revised numbers.
Yeah, here we go.
The problem is that even the revision is still incorrect.
What do you mean?
Whoa! Wait a minute. Yeah. The revision that they put out yesterday is wrong?
Yes. If you go in and look at the narrative, the text of the report that deals with Russia records 13 attacks that killed 244 people and injured, I think it's 692. I've forgotten, last time I counted it.
Uh-huh.
They don't include a single one of those incidents in the significant incident section.
So the numbers are still not right, and they're still lower than what is reality.
Correct.
Well, now you know why I don't listen to myself, ever.
Oh, you sound great, man. You sound great. You smelled it. You said, this guy's got something, and you went right after. It was beautiful.
Well, he does have something, because this, first of all, further erodes the credibility of our distinguished Secretary of State, if he had any, when he re-released these figures. Colin Powell has, I don't know if he's lost stature in the United States or among Republicans or among George W. Bush's base. That I don't know. What I do know is he has very little credibility around the world. People no longer feel that when Colin Powell says something, that's something that they can trust to be the absolute truth coming from the United States of America.
It's weird. He always ends up holding the bag of poop.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. What that's about. But I mean, with the stuff he presented to the United Nations, and now this thing he said last week that when it became clear when Henry Waxman went after the State Department and said, look, these numbers can't be right. I want you to come clean with this stuff. And Powell says, you know what? You're right, Henry. They weren't right. We overlooked some numbers, but we weren't cooking the books because you can't do that now.
No.
He added now.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how anyone can assume even Larry Johnson, the guy we had on, was not willing to assess it as being some sort of intentional, oversight to cook the books, so to speak. Because these numbers, in April when the original report was released, Deputy Secretary of State Richard Armitage declared that it provided clear evidence, quote, clear evidence that we are prevailing in this fight. And if you look at these new numbers, which aren't even right, the original report said there were 307 people killed in terrorist attacks last year. The revised version increased that number to 625. That's a big difference. The new report states that there were 175 significant events of terror last year, the highest number since 1982. In the original November report, for November of 2003, 2 attacks, 1 fatality. In the revised, 20 attacks, 78 fatalities. All right. In the original for the December attacks, 0. All right. Mm-hmm. In the new one, it says there were 8 attacks and 19 fatalities reported. What we can extrapolate from all this evidence is that the war of terror is not being won. Terrorism is worse globally. Clearly in the United States, there has been some success. We haven't had an attack here since 9/11. Thank God.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God. But clearly around the world, there was no connection between Iraq and terrorism. And he called, he said in our interview as well with Larry Johnson that, Cheney is a liar. That whole thing's been discredited.
He said that completely. And then, of course, there is the side issue of these, because the Bush administration had to do both of these things yesterday. First, they released the revised State Department anti-terror figures, or the terror figures, terrorist incident figures. Then they'd have to turn around and release these torture memos that at first they said they came very close to saying didn't even exist. George W. Bush continues to maintain, I do not condone torture. Yet, in memos that were released just yesterday, the Bush administration claimed the right to waive anti-torture laws if need be. And, of course, that was after the invasion of Afghanistan. And our defense secretary, Donald Rumsfeld, authorized guards to strip detainees and threaten them with dogs. I'm not saying it. The documents are saying it.
Dude, this is some baffling BS. That's what's going on. These guys are the best BSers I've ever seen in my life in that, you know, they don't just start with one little bit of BS. You know, they don't present some BS and then wait for people to call it BS. They present some BS and then they go, well, maybe it's BS. And then they go, but it's not our BS, it's someone else's BS. And hey, whose BS is it? Does anyone take the fall for this BS? I don't know. Was there BS? And then you're sitting there and you're going, what's going on? You're so confused and frightened that you don't even know, you know, what the hell is true anymore.
Why do half of these guys still have jobs?
I can't even understand it. The only guy that takes the hit is Tenet, who was a Clinton appointee, you know, and like that doesn't feel like a setup.
I thought at least Cambone would be gone by now. My God. But now, again, you know, Bush's people have to disavow a Justice Department opinion that says that torturing terrorism suspects might be legally defensible. Now, Mark Maron, ask yourself this question. If this government, if this administration was so averse to terror, or not terror, to torture, to using these tactics, why are all of these memos circulating around saying that they were looking into how they could avoid the Geneva Conventions? How do you do that? How do you reconcile the idea that this country has some higher standard of conduct when it comes to how we deal with prisoners, how we deal with warfare? And yet on the other side, we're sitting here talking about, well, gee, I guess under certain legal situations, we could get rid of the Geneva Conventions for certain people, whether it's Jose Padilla or people down in Guantanamo or obviously at Abu Ghraib. How do you reconcile this?
Well, it's amazing what they did. They said, look, you know, we are going to make, we've made this unilateral decision to fight this war on terrorism. It's unlike other wars. This is not a state anymore. Afghanistan no longer is a state, so it no longer applies to the Geneva Convention. So what can we do? Let's get the White House lawyers together. Since we're the only ones in on this, we are the power. We are the only superpower in the world. Why don't we make it so we can circumvent these international conventions to our own best use, which means that we can do whatever we want. Find all the loopholes, fellas, because we want to get through them. Because when the S hits the fan, you know, make sure we're protected and that we are, and we've just enabled. That's like me going outside of my house and peeing outside, knowing that it's a law. I can't pee outside, but then I go, yeah, but it's my house.
Yeah.
And they go, well, no, but it's still a law here. It's like, nah, because I own this house and this land, and you guys, it's my country.
That's right. Nobody told you to drive past and look.
Bad metaphor.
I tried.
You know what I'm saying? This is a very confusing thing to me because they made these rules. They figured out a way to circumvent it. They did the torture, and now they're saying, oh, yeah, we did do that, but it doesn't matter now because we'll change them.
But you had it right in the first place. It appears to me as if all of this is deliberately baffling. But you know who's not baffled by it?
Who?
Former Vice President Al Gore. He knows what time it is. He's going to be speaking tomorrow in a major public policy address in Washington. And he is really trying to rip the covers off the Bush administration, accusing them of being intentionally dishonest when it came to linking Saddam Hussein and al-Qaeda. Now, some of you may remember now how the Republican Party responded during Al Gore's last foray into public speaking when he was here in New York City.
Yeah, they said he's crazy.
Yeah, they said he had become unhinged. You may remember that speech he gave to MoveOn.org.
How dare the incompetent and willful members of this Bush-Cheney administration humiliate our nation and our people in the eyes of the world and in the conscience of our own people. How dare they subject us to such dishonor and disgrace? How dare they drag the good name of the United States of America through the mud of Saddam Hussein's torture prison?
Wow. That first one, how dare, like they, it's coming from the guts, man. And really, how dare they? But the audacity of these people, of the only thing they can say to that, the only thing they can say to an American responding with passion against an administration that is clearly demonic, devious, and secretive, is that Al Gore's gone crazy.
Well, that's all they can say. They can't argue with his facts, can they?
Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, that's such the pot calling the kettle black. These, you know, people like, you know, O'Reilly and people like, you know, Rush, they're intentionally, you know, delusional and hateful, and their scope is so narrow and focused. Their hate is so narrow and focused, and they are so proud of their inability to have a broad mind or an open mind or an embracing mind that, you know, the people they appeal to frighten them.
But you know what? The people that benefit from the Bill O'Reillys and the Rush Limbaughs of the world have contempt for those people. They have contempt for Bill O'Reilly. They have contempt for Rush Limbaugh. I've seen it happen.
And contempt for themselves.
We're coming back with Recovery Corner Plus, direct from Gitmo. It's Benari Poulton, all that plus the liberal agenda here on Air America Radio.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How are you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling. Mine too. But who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back. Guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's.
LendingTree.com presents 2 steps for controlling the home buying process. Step 1. Go to LendingTree.com and get up to 4 great mortgage offers within hours. Step 2. Stay at LendingTree.com and get up to 4 leading real estate agents within hours. So, to choose the mortgage and agent that's right for you, call 1-800-555-TREE or visit LendingTree.com. See website for details and state license disclosures. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions may apply.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning, I'm Wayne Gilman. Halliburton's back in the news again, and again the news is not pleasant. New York families blasting the Texas company for saddling them with funeral costs and little in the way of information about their loved one's death in Iraq. Halliburton owes the family at the very least $100,000 in benefits, and they're yet to cough up one dime. White House released documents yesterday revealing that President Bush waived the right to anti-torture laws and treaties covering prisoners of war. Documents were released just minutes after the President told reporters at the White House that he never condoned or ordered torture. Deputy Defense Secretary Paul Wolfowitz says U.S. military may have a presence in Iraq for a long, long time. And no word from the South Korean government since the execution of one of its nationals at the hands of militants linked to Al-Qaeda in Iraq. Victim was beheaded yesterday despite pleas by the victim to stop sending troops to spare his life. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
This invitation may change the way you look at life if you are dependent on glasses or contact lenses to see at distance or for reading. Customized laser vision treatments that correct the unique imperfections in your vision 25 times more accurately than other methods are now available at New York Presbyterian Weill Cornell Medical Center. Dr. Sandra Belmont, Director of the Cornea Service at Cornell Medical College, provides the most advanced and precise FDA-approved wave scan-driven corrections to safely improve eyesight for people with problems reading and seeing at distance, and help throw away your glasses and contact lenses. To see what you've been missing and learn more about wave scan driven and no touch laser vision procedures, call Dr. Belmont at 212-746-2020. That's 212-746-2020. Or visit us at cornelllaservision.com. The Weill Cornell Laser Vision and New York Presbyterian Hospital are proud to be a part of this year's 2004 Heritage of Pride event on Sunday, June 27th. See you at Pride.
Make every day bolder. Introducing the new bolder taste of Maxwell House French Roast. You told us you wanted a more full-bodied coffee. We listened. Today we custom roast our beans for a new, bolder flavor. Try the new taste of Maxwell House French Roast. It's a bold new way to make every day good to the last drop. Maxwell House.
The Air America phones are ringing off the hook.
Hey, we love your show. Listen to every day, at least part of it.
Everyone's calling Air America Radio.
Thank you for having the courage to speak up and getting a voice of honesty out there on the airwaves.
Air America Radio, 866-303-AAR0. We're listening.
I just wanted to call and let you know we love the show out here in Cleveland.
866-303-AAR0. Call and let it rip.
morning. It's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley on Morning's Edition, Air America Radio. Man, I don't know what's in this espresso, dude, but I think I'm having an aneurysm.
Hey, it feels good to me.
A cathartic aneurysm of hope is going on in my brain. In studio, a very interesting event that happens in a person. You're an event right now to me.
Fantastic.
Yeah, Ben-Ari Poulton is an Army reservist, yes, and he is a former Gitmo, Guantanamo Bay Public Affairs Officer?
I was a sergeant there in the public affairs office.
And also a stand-up comic?
Yes.
Wow, I mean, how did your life lead you this way? I mean, what were you doing down there? What was it like?
It was very bizarre. I signed up right out of college. You know, I'd majored in English and theater, which, you know, is a double.
I did similar. I was English and film studies.
So you double majored in unemployment as well.
Yeah. Wait a minute. I just got stuck with something.
That's a great way to start off the show.
No. I know. Well, actually, I didn't double major. My minor was film studies, and the only reason I was able to do it was, here's how I decided what I was majoring in, is I went to college, and then after I finished, you know, like 2 months before, I'm like, all right, let's try and make this into something, and it became English.
Well, there you go. Yeah. That's how that major usually works.
Exactly.
My family, both my grandfathers had been in the service in World War II. My father had been a reservist, mm-hmm. And was still in the medical brigade. And all through high school, he was trying to get me to go sign up for the Army. You know, you should join and get money for college. And I'm like, no way, old man. I'm going to listen to my Beatles. And then I sort of realized that there were things that the Army could offer, and I kind of wanted to serve. And when I signed up in 1999, we were peacekeepers, and not in the ironic sense.
You got in because you wanted to sort of get what they had to offer in terms of, you know, forwarding your life without necessarily getting into a combat situation or...
And, you know, I was ready to serve when needed, if necessary.
Right.
But I also went...
kind of hoping you wouldn't have to.
I went, you know, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But I went, you know, military journalist, broadcast journalist, mm-hmm. which is sort of the... sort of a Joker from Full Metal Jacket,
right.
or Adrian Cronauer, or
sure.
Morning Vietnam type thing. So
right.
I got really good training in that.
Right.
And that's sort of a fun job in the Army because you get to see everything.
Mm-hmm.
When I was deployed down there as part of the public affairs
office. But then, surprise, you're in Guantanamo Bay.
All of a sudden that happens. And, I mean, there are worse places to go, but it's a very bizarre sort of place because the detainees are there. And you're stuck there, too. No one's going anywhere.
Right.
And everything's watched, and you're all under scrutiny.
Right.
So everything you do is sort of, you know, there's 30 sets of eyes on you at all times.
So, well, what do you do down there? Is there are there bars? Are there places to go? I mean, is it a city? I mean, you know, outside, we'll get into the prisoner sort of relationship with the military down there. But, I mean, how do you occupy your time?
Well, I mean, they do have quote-unquote bars down there, but they're bizarre military versions of them. So we had, like, the Tiki Bar, which was, like, this outdoor little, you know, wicker thing set up.
But it's like camp.
But it's like camp. So you have, like, MPs walking around with, you know, weapons and stuff, making sure that everyone's doing okay. And
Have fun?
Yeah, exactly.
Good.
Exactly.
And you can't go into town because town is Cuba.
Town is Cuba. And it's very cool. It's very cool. You can see the party going on in Havana just over the ridge. But you're stuck there. You can't do anything about it.
Oh, my God.
But and karaoke was big. I found that out. I had no idea.
Big at Guantanamo, karaoke?
Apparently very big in the Army.
Is that how they did some of the torture down there?
Sing the Beatles song!
Exactly.
But I do not know the melody.
Sing Toby Keith!
Oh, boy.
Our guest is Ben-Ari Poulton. He is a stand-up comic and former Gitmo public affairs officer. Now, I guess it must have been pretty ironic for you to, you know, to be a comic and also be in that kind of a situation.
Absolutely. There were many times I had to bite my tongue just, you know, because of the people that I was surrounded with. It's one thing to crack jokes, you know, among your fellow soldiers, but when you're talking to the general and they put out information like, you know, the motto of Guantanamo Bay is honor bound to defend freedom. And then you look around, and you go,
what are you talking about?
You say, yes, sir.
Yeah. Wow. But now let's talk about something a little more serious, because there are allegations that there was some prisoner abuse, obviously, and perhaps some torture. And what was your engagement, if any, with the prison population?
We, first off, there was a big concern down there about what was going on there, because the politics over here was very separate from what was going on the ground in Guantanamo.
Okay.
And so they, with the Amnesty down there and Red Cross, and we had our legal teams, the military legal teams down there, and the Pentagon was, you know, updates, And what was going on in the media were sort of contradictory. So that was sort of avoided there. They were just trying to do their job to the best of their abilities.
So you're saying that you tried to keep the outside world out and deal with what was going on there.
And just deal with what was going on
in
there.
All right, well, hold that thought, and we're going to come back. You know, I want to set this up. We're going to come back and finish that conversation. I also need, from the listener, a fun listener who wants to do this, they just released this letter that Saddam sent to his family from prison. All right, but the problem is, for security reasons, they blacked out a lot of stuff in it. So we want your help filling in the blanks. We'll put one lucky caller on the air to help us out with our Saddam Mad Libs. All right, that's 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270. Plus, after this, more Benari Poulton about what was really going on in Guantanamo Bay. So stay with us.
Before you make another payment on your home, your car, or credit cards, you need to know what's really affecting your finances today. Hello, I'm Peter Bissonette, publisher of Abundance for Life. Our wealth-making system shows you the underlying cause of almost all financial problems and how to multiply your speed to prosperity. Now, you can get a free CD on eliminating financial problems and generate real wealth from the very first day. Call 1-800-900-4211. Stop thinking you can't be rich. Get the Abundance for Life system. Picture this. Your debt, gone. Your home, paid in full. And your bank account overflowing with real wealth. Before you pay another bill, call 1-800-900-4211 to get your free CD on building personal wealth. But you must call today. These CDs are in heavy demand and can't be found anywhere else. Call 1-800-900-4211. That's 1-800-900-4211.
Having trouble sleeping? Then listen to the experts. Over 25,000 doctors, chiropractors, and sleep clinics worldwide recommend the biggest breakthrough in better sleep, the Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress. Call now for your free mattress sample at 1-800-611-9977. The Tempur-Pedic mattress works like no conventional mattress can. Its high-tech material contours to your body, relieving the pressure points that make you toss and turn. It erases aches and pains, even for people with back troubles. In fact, 92% of owners surveyed say their Tempur-Pedic bed is far superior to their old innerspring mattress, air, or water bed. Judge for yourself. Call 1-800-611-9977 for a free sample of the Tempur-Pedic mattress material. You'll also get a free better sleep video and a 90-day trial offer guarantee. Want to sleep better? Listen to the experts and call Tempur-Pedic now. 1-800-611-9977. That's 1-800-611-9977.
Hello from Athens, Greece, folks. Now, if you're a big sports fan like me, this is the place to be. They've got them all. Take fencing. My sword of choice is always the foil over the saber in F.A. You've got to see it. That's why Connell Lodge and Roadway Inn Hotels have created the Wake Up a Winner sweepstakes. You could win a trip to the big events in Athens. To enter, visit choicehotels.com, or every time you stay at a Connell Lodge and Roadway Inn Hotels this summer, you'll get a game piece with a chance to win hundreds of prizes and discounts off your next stay. Wake Up a Winner. To book, call 800-4-CHOICE or go to choicehotels.com. Well, I'm off to rhythmic gymnastics, where it always comes down to who nails the tightest ribbon snake. Choice Hotel. We'll see you there.
No purchase necessary. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 and older. Void where prohibited. Promotion runs June 7th through August 29th, 2004. For official rules and how to enter without purchase, visit choicehotels.com.
Two past the hour, it's Morning's Edition with Mark Maron, who is me, and Mark Riley, who is him.
Hi.
We are here with Benari Poulton.
Who is me?
Who is you, that's right. He's a former Gitmo Public Affairs officer.
Public Affairs Sergeant.
Sergeant.
Right. I'm not an officer, I work for a living.
I get you. He's also a stand-up comic. Now, you know, I can't, because of our listeners and because of who I am, yeah, I need you to address it. The torture issue was, I mean, did you know anything was going on? Did you feel anything was going on? What? Oh, yeah. Oh, wait. You know, hold that thought.
Hold it.
First, let me say that I'm Mark. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Mark.
And in Recovery Corner, I reach out to fellow 12-steppers who are struggling to stay clean and sober. Today, as always, I'm offering my counsel to my temporary sponsor, George W. I've been watching you, George W., the last few weeks. It looks like you're throwing in the towel, buddy, backing up Cheney on the Iraq-Al-Qaeda connection, allowing Rumsfeld's torture memos to be released, that completely idiotic healthy marriage initiative. These are not the actions of someone who wants to be president for four more years. You heard me. I'm not sure your heart's in the game anymore, and subconsciously, I think you're looking for a back door, pal. Self-destructive behavior is what alcoholism is all about, my friend. Maybe you don't think you deserve to be president, so you keep making decisions you know will fail. That's dry drinking, George W., and the forecast calls for booze. I see it. You're setting yourself up, buddy. Think, think, think. Despite everything, somehow 50% of America still wants you to stick around. You might even be asking, what do I have to lose? What horrific screw-up can I cause to get me out of this? Please, pal, George, buddy, don't ask that. Ask this, George W., why don't I go to a meeting? You hear me? Get to a meeting. Someone else can always be president, all right? But only you can be you. So remember, denial is not a river in Egypt. Sobriety is a journey, not a destination. You know, pride leads the procession, my friend. Please, for the country's sake, get back in touch with your recovery. Keep the plug in the jug. That's it. First things first, get to a meeting. Then Ari Poulton, back to the question, the dirty question. What was going on down there? What kind of contact did you have with it as a PR guy?
Well, one of our jobs down there was to document what was going on and to sort of keep tabs on everything. And so I ended up seeing a lot, and I was actually a little disappointed. Because of all the hoopla and all the hype and all the buildup about what was going on down there, I didn't know it was going to be, you know, sort of so boring and all the real good stuff was going on at, like, Abu Ghraib and all those places.
You mean the real bad
stuff? The real bad stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was very sensitive because we knew that we were trying to stay within the Geneva Conventions down there.
Yeah.
But there was so much attention going, you know, being focused on Guantanamo, the places they weren't paying attention to, that's where sort of the failure of leadership really occurred.
Okay, so you're saying that you guys, as far as you know, from where you were sitting in your sergeant's seat as a PR person, that they were abiding by the Geneva Convention?
From everything I saw. Now, what made me concerned about the memo that were released yesterday, is going through it. Some of the things that they were trying to define whether or not it's torture, like standing for long periods of time, yeah, being pushed and shoved and yelled at and pointed at and intimidated with dogs, that sounded like basic training to me.
Wow.
Where was amnesty then for me?
Your choice, dude.
Yeah. I made the choice.
Bernard Poulton, were you there when General Miller was there, the guy who was at Gitmo and then later ended up at Abu Ghraib?
Yes. Yes, I was.
Now, did you ever come across him? Was he, because he's kind of being portrayed as the bad guy right now. Sort of, you know, there were problems at Gitmo, they moved him to Abu Ghraib. The problems went with him to Abu Ghraib. Was he that bad a guy?
Well, actually, one of the interesting things about him is when we had got there, we came in actually about the same rotation as he came in, and there was a bunch of bad things that had kind of happened, and they sort of brought him as the cleanup guy there.
Okay.
And then it looks like this similar thing happened over in Abu Ghraib, where bad things had occurred, so then they brought him over there. So it almost looks like, I don't know if they're trying to sort of use him as a cleanup guy or the face of these sorts of things, or not, but I mean,
maybe they brought him in there to go, okay, you guys, you weren't tortured. You weren't tortured!
Right, yeah, you know, it's anyone's guess, but, you know, as my legal counsel would say, I can neither confirm nor deny
that. I get you. We're talking to Ari Poulton, who was a former Gitmo Public Affairs Sergeant and also a stand-up comic. Are you doing much comedy right now? Or are you back in the groove? Because, well, you did it before you left, right?
Right, yeah. And trying to get back in the groove, although every time I sort of get close to sort of building a name and then rebuilding a name, the Army seems to step in. I don't know if John Ashcroft has my name on a list somewhere. He's like, he's getting too big. Send him to Gitmo.
Yeah, he's getting,
get him out of here.
Get the funny kid with the funny name back down out of the public
get
eye.
Get that little liberal Jew back down to Gitmo.
Bernard, real quick, what was it like the last few days before you left, before you came back to the world? Were you looking forward to it? Were you sick of Gitmo? How did you feel?
You start getting a little stir crazy down there. So, you know, you're definitely looking to get back over there. And what
you
was,
get stir crazy.
Why? Well, I get stir crazy. But, you know, coming back, you know, all the questions that you have to start answering again, like, what is it? Little nice little Jewish boy like yourself doing in the Army.
And you go, you can't handle the turtle.
Exactly. And, like, you know, I eat my breakfast 30,000 yards away from people who want to kill me.
Is that really the line?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, that's right.
I didn't mean to blow your joke.
You need me on the face.
Yes. Okay, so now we're going to do this thing. All right, we got a caller on the phone, and we're going to do our Saddam Mad Libs. Saddam wrote a letter, and a lot of it was X'd out. He wrote a letter to his family. A lot of it was X'd out for security reasons, so we want to fill it in. And we've got, who's on the phone? Virginia on the phone. How are you, Virginia?
Well, okay, I can't believe I did this to myself because I picked up the phone to call you guys 7 or 8 times and I always chicken out.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd pick the most pressure-filled moment to possibly do it.
Well, there you are.
This is a fun moment, Virginia. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
You've done Mad Libs before, right?
Well, I'm familiar with the concept.
Okay, all right. So we need a noun.
The latest edition of Martha Stewart Living.
Okay. How about an adjective?
Frothy.
Nice. How about we need a plural farm animal.
Goats.
Goats. Nice. Plural body part.
Shoulder blades.
Okay. Good. Good. U.S. pop group.
The Beastie Boys.
New album's good.
All right.
We need a Middle Eastern pop group.
Let's see. Abu Salam and his Lambs of Freedom.
Nice. Nice. Okay. Weapon of mass destruction?
The Republican Party.
A method of execution?
The Republican Party.
Okay. An insect?
The scarab.
Oh, nice. Scarab, yeah. An object?
A planter.
Okay. How about a name of an Iraqi prison outside of Baghdad? We're teasing you on this one.
How about Abu Ghraib?
Oh, good. She's doing the George W. Babble.
Yeah.
A synonym for guy pile.
Guy pile? let's see. Boy mountain.
Oh, good. Another adjective.
Scintillating.
Great. Name of Saddam relative not killed by U.S. troops or by Saddam.
Oh, boy, I don't even know.
Sorry, there aren't
any. Let's see. Let's try Ali.
Okay. How about an Arabic greeting?
Salam alaikum.
Okay. And a noun?
Footstool.
Footstool. Virginia, yeah, thank you.
You're good.
Tremendous help. And when we come back, we'll read your Mad Lib.
Oh, okay. Listen. Okay.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Virginia. She was good.
Yeah. We'll
it
would have
taken years.
We'll be back with the Mad Lib after this.
If you're not outraged, you're not paying attention.
Have you ever walked by someone and laughed at their T-shirt, or saw a bumper sticker that were your exact thoughts?
Well-behaved women seldom make history.
Did you wish you could get one like it? Do you want to find a way to express your political views for all to see? Well, you can. For 25 years, Northern Sun Merchandising has been supplying humorous and politically conscious products, including bumper stickers, posters, buttons, and, of course, T-shirts.
One nation under surveillance.
So express yourself with Northern Sun Merchandising at www.northernsun.com or call 800-258-8579 for a catalog.
God bless the whole world. No exceptions.
Often humorous, never dull at Northern Sun. That's 800-258-8579 for a catalog or visit northernsun.com.
And remember, regime change begins at home.
Do you dread spending another summer in your old, dreary kitchen? Then bring it to dazzling life again with cabinet refacing from Sears Home Services. Call 1-800-448-6600 for a free design consultation. Call right now and save $525 on select styles. Sears Cabinet Refacing can transform your kitchen without the time, expense, or mess of building all new cabinets. In about 4 to 6 days, your old kitchen can have new elegance, just the way you imagine, with your choice of hundreds of decorator styles. Services and materials are provided by Bill Ray, a Sears authorized contractor, license number available on request. So call Sears Cabinet Refacing at 1-800-448-6600 and save $525 on select styles. Offer ends June 30th, some restrictions apply. So call Sears Cabinet Refacing now, 1-800-448-6600.
If you want to do more with your home improvement project and with your budget, you can. The Home Depot can show you how. If you want to know more and know you're getting the lowest price every day, you can. Others try to get by on just a promise, but the Home Depot comes through time after time. It's how we were built. with a solid history and pure passion for bringing you the lowest possible prices on everything from washers and bolts to washers and dryers. When you buy as much as we do, you can afford to sell for less. That's the power of buying power. Simple stuff, just like our 10% price guarantee. If you ever find a lower price somewhere else, the Home Depot will beat it by 10%. Plus, if you want to get special finance offers that let you buy now and pay later, you can. Just ask an associate for details. If you want to pull it all together and know you're making your dollars and your dreams go farther, you can. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
Coming in for landing here on Morning Sedition, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley there.
Hey.
Ben Ari Poulton, a former Gitmo Public Affairs Sergeant and stand-up comic, has been with us for the last few segments.
Sure.
Yes. Hanging out.
There you go.
We've just finished our, we had Virginia on the phone to help us with our Saddam letter. Saddam wrote a letter to his family. They X'd out a lot of the letter for security reasons, so we had it filled in Mad Lib style by our friend Virginia, who was just on the phone with us, and now I'm going to read our Saddam Mad Lib. This is Saddam Hussein's letter to his daughter. To my daughter, I know you are concerned about me and my Martha Stewart living. Don't worry, I am just frothy. On the lighter side, well, looks like you were right. They got me. Guess I owe you 20 goats after all. And hey, at least they haven't chopped off my shoulder blades yet, so that's good. The guards here are cool guys. Still, I wish they listened to a little less Beastie Boys and a little more Abu Salam and his Lambs of Freedom. What's the food here taste like? Republican Party. And I should know, right? Laugh out loud. Little Republican Party humor there. It's not really like I miss life in the scarab hole, but man, I'm pissed that Bush said he won't give back my ivory-handled planter. Planter. And that's not all he stole. Did you see those pictures from Abu Ghraib? I have problems with that. Abu Ghraib, he totally ripped off my idea to have a naked boy mountain. Boy Mountain. Nothing. Boy Mountain, nothing. Anyway, you know I hate to sound bitter or scintillating, so that's pretty much it for me. Tell Ali I said salam aleik, love Saddam. P.S. Send footstools.
Yes, yes, yes.
Footstools.
Nice work.
Hello.
Nice work.
Very nice. I actually happen to have a copy of the unedited classified letter, and it's almost identical to that, which is amazing.
I don't know how to do an accent of any kind. I just was trying to get away from... I generally end up just always doing an Indian accent, you know, because it happens, so I tried to do something. That was... I'm not trying to represent anyone.
You're branching
anyone.
Out. I think that that's
yeah.
good.
But I just wanted to say to our Iraqi listeners, who American Iraqi listeners, that I'm not trying to make fun of your accent. I have no idea. I just wanted to sound something like...
the Iraqi these aren't the ones that are pissed off. It's the Sikhs. They're the ones that have the problem with the
see,
accent.
All right, there okay. you go, getting all factual.
Okay, okay.
Sorry.
Well, my Sikh brothers, I'm sorry.
That's more like it.
If I've misrepresented anything. Just make it a little funny. Uh-huh. That was our evidence. So, you know, it's great having you here. So what's your plan? Do you just wait until the Army calls you back, or are you going to do some stand-up? What
yeah.
do you got?
Yeah,
you know, I'm really trying. I'm trying to. It's you know, you walk a tightrope between what you can and cannot make fun of, you know. Well, hopefully I can count on you guys at my court-martial. What were you doing on that liberal station there?
Wait a minute.
We got you out.
You can't just be waiting for the other shoe to drop. I mean, you're working.
No,
right?
No, I am. I actually just got back. I was working on the Nantucket Film Festival for a little bit, and I'm getting back into...
For the Army?
No. Yes, they have a couple of really great movies. You should see them. No one does human pyramids like the Army. So that whole thing actually really upsets me because...
I can tell.
It's very... It upsets me because that's become the face of the Army now.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
it's like
upsets a lot of people.
These people,
yeah.
There's something wrong with them.
Yeah.
I mean, she's 8 months pregnant now, and I don't know how you tell the story when the kid grows up.
But also, I mean, they thought that they were allowed to do that by, you know, Rumsfeld. Here we go. Here's our agenda from the Streisand Conference on the Liberal Agenda for today. Get your notebooks and pencils. One, applaud the new 1.6 million member class action suit against Walmart. Then criticize it for being so big and impersonal. Two, organize porn workers into United Brotherhood of Fluffers. That's important.
3, initiate conflict resolution between vegans and ovo-lactoites. 4, tell people waiting in ticket lines for Fahrenheit 9/11 that you already saw it at con. Poo-poo to you. 5, today's phrase, just drop it into conversation. No falafel for me today. I'm protesting the beheadings. There you go. Do what you will. Thank you, Benari Polton, for being here. Mark Riley, take us out. We'll see you tomorrow.
All right. Coming up on tomorrow's Morning's Edition, controversial author Deborah Dickerson joins us to discuss her new book, The End of Blackness, a development that comes as a particular surprise to moi.
Yeah, that's going to be a good interview. Man.
Oh, yeah. Fun, fun, fun. That's tomorrow's Morning's Edition here on Air America Radio. Stay tuned for Unfiltered, Theo Franken Factor, Randy Rhodes, and much, much more here on Air America Radio. Yeah.